about.
Holla, beach house.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is Beat Baxter on NRJ, Radio Finland. If we were in the United States of America, and I did something wrong, but it wasn't international, it was just domestic, then the law enforcement agency that would handle that would be the FBI.
The FBI?
That never gets old.
Why is being so stupid? Why is being so gay? Hey. Being reshaped the FBI. And we die today.
And now.
And I strongly urge you and your family to take every precaution against the influence of being
our feature presentation.
That's true. That's very important.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Very important.
That's a poor start to a new week, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, we've learned that that's typical.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's not that you can't make everybody happy. It's that occasionally you can't make anyone happy. And that's frustrating. But what are you going to do?
You just keep on keeping on,
That's
man.
Right, Lisa. That is right. Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's the 13th of July.
Well, that leaves this reviewer cold. That's not even trying.
Suggestions?
Well, what? We weren't going with fries, were we? That's even worse.
Worse than July?
Yes.
Well, I keep hoping
compared to the original.
I keep hoping that one day Kevin will show up before the start of the show. We can discuss ahead of time.
No, come on. You Dude, just need to have a suggestion all ready to go.
Here's the thing, B. You're really super picky about the date, so I'm going to toss that right into your lap. You just handle the date however you'd like. It's yours. Make it sing.
Ding, ba, da, dun. Ding, ba, da, dun. Ding, ba, da, dun. Ding, ba, da, dun.
It makes Lisa so happy to hear him. That's
a
all I say.
A listener heard me say that and said, yes, it's my ringtone. Would you like it to be yours? And I said, absolutely. And he emailed it to me because I had no idea how to do it on my phone. And now it is my ringtone.
We're going to take your telephone calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number if you want to be part of the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew. All I know is that Bruno is sick. And by the way, it's gay.
Yep.
Thank
apparently
you, Dewan.
Apparently, Dewan was outraged by what he saw on the screen, at the half of Bruno that he saw over the weekend.
Yes.
We have to talk to Dewan today.
He walked out.
First surprised. Completely surprised, which is funny, but then outraged.
Yes.
And who knew? How could he even know?
I don't know how you ever could have guessed.
Now, my understanding is the commercials for Bruno, which are very funny, do not begin to hint at how gay it is, though. Apparently,
I heard a
person from GLAAD on the radio over the weekend who said he said, listen to me, it's the gayest thing I've ever seen. This is a person from GLAAD was saying this.
So funny.
I guess there's a lot of penis in the movie.
Well, there is it prominently featured. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot.
That's unusual for a mainstream film, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some critics going, why is this not NC-17? Exactly.
Yeah, it certainly seemed
sure
like it.
It's sure borderline.
Yeah. It's not a soft R. Let's
no.
put it that way.
Yes, right. Someone said that. It's a hard R.
It is, yeah.
But I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, there were some funny moments in there that laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
That guy is bold.
Yeah.
That guy has cojones.
There's no other word for it.
Man.
It's unbelievable.
He's the best. You didn't see it, Bean?
No.
Aww.
Too gay?
No, I don't get to the movies very often anymore, and I did not get a chance this weekend.
Mm. Do you want to, or are you just not interested?
No, I think I'll see it at some point, sure.
Yeah, definitely worth seeing.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I had to go.
All right, let's take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You guys are going to have to tell me what they're winning today. We have a new intern this morning. I'm not sure if we've figured out the paperwork situation yet.
All right. You got a pair of passes to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Great.
How about that?
Always good.
All right. Let's begin with Bruno. Let's say good morning to Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do? Well, I saw Bruno this weekend, and I have to tell you, that movie was so politically and incorrect in every single way.
I know. Isn't it refreshing?
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. I just want to take the kids to see it, that's for sure.
Politically incorrect is a nice term for it,
yeah.
But it's worse than that. Better than that, either way, however you look at it. Did you liked it?
I absolutely loved it. Although my boyfriend had to walk out for a second. It's I don't know about this. He's like, come on, let's go. I'm like, hell no.
Squeamish.
Yeah, well, they just certainly do push that to the limit.
He couldn't touch me the rest of the day. He's like, I'm sorry. I've been scarred for that movie.
Are you a guy? Are you a dude?
No, I'm a girl.
Oh, how about that?
You'd be cleansing for him.
Right. Cleanse the old palate. But I guess not.
That was awesome.
All right. Thank you for the call. I agree. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike. What it do?
What it do, nephew, baby boo?
What it do, Mike?
What's going on?
I.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you speak to us, please?
I hate to even say the name again, but I can't believe they're going to chew up another hour of our television airtime with Family Secrets after Michael's gone.
Oh, when is this, tonight?
I'm not sure. I just caught the commercial for it.
Yeah. I know they aired a special with that title last week. I don't know if this is a rerun or what, but they did have it on already.
Oh, it may be a repeat of it then.
Yeah, we're hoping it'll die down sometime soon, but it doesn't appear to have lost much steam.
Yeah.
One of the Jackson sisters, I don't know which one, is in a British newspaper today saying that she very much believes that Michael was murdered.
LaToya.
And that...
What?
Is it LaToya? And that there was $2 million worth of jewelry and other valuables stolen from his home after he was killed. And just a whole bunch of other stuff.
LaToya has always been crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She's the nutty Jackson, as if that category exists.
But isn't there
She'll say anything just to stay in the media, too, I think.
Harvey was on the radio over the weekend saying that there is some sort of investigation into a doctor and homicide charges could be filed.
But from just abusing the...
That I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, the saga's never going to end.
Nope. It is not. Especially with LaToya in the family.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long they can keep 24/7 coverage going, but seems,
you're sure doing
seems
it.
Tough.
Trying.
Andrew, hi.
Hey, guys. What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello?
Hey, I just wanted to comment. I went to the Angel Yankee game yesterday, and, I've always noticed that Yankee fans are very obnoxious, but I don't know if you've seen, it seems like every Yankee fan guy looks like an old motorcycle cop with the sick mustache. They have the flipped around beach visor, the khaki short shorts. I mean, I don't know what's up with these guys. They have the brand new Derek Jeter jersey. Some of them sell the price tag on it. And guys are just so obnoxious. It's unbelievable. And, of course, Angels won yesterday. They swept the series.
Nice.
And, these guys always have to throw out, what's the championship total? 26-1. It's actually 27-1, and I hate the Yankees. I even know more than they do. But,
yeah.
So
it is nice, though, when obnoxious fans come to the game and then you sweep. That's nice.
Yes.
Oh, man. And I got to tell you, this girl had a sign yesterday that said, the Angels suck. Not the Angels,
well,
the Angels.
Beautiful.
Suck.
She might have a point. Have you checked
into
whether the Angels suck or not? I mean, maybe she was a math.
Yeah, hey, man, it was great. But, Yankees lost 3 in a row, so gotta love that.
Nicely done.
What's awesome is that it doesn't make the Yankees fans any less obnoxious getting swept. And I think, didn't the Angels score 29 runs against them in the 3 games?
You got it.
Really?
And 3 of their top players are injured, so that makes it even more sweeter. So,
29 runs? That's awesome.
I could as a Mariners fan, I could have used a little bit of help from the Yankees this weekend. It would have been nice to see them maybe help us out a little bit, but that was not to be.
Oh, what a shame. Let's go to Ralph. Hey, Ralph, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Over the weekend, I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for Megan Fox's new vampire movie.
Yes.
Jennifer's Body.
Yes.
I didn't see it in the theater, but I have watched it repeatedly online.
Yeah, so I mean, that thing looks awesome.
Yeah.
So
it does look great.
Yes, it does look great. So hopefully, she'll get more roles after this.
Like this one. Yeah.
All right, guys.
This is the one. Thank you. This is the one where all those stills and pictures and stuff are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's kind of nude.
Close.
Very close.
Last year, some photos surfaced of her coming out of the water with a body stocking on, where it looked, if you squinted, it looked like she was actually naked, but she had no nipples. But the movie itself is written by Diablo Cody, who, of course, you know, won the Oscar for Juno, for screenwriting.
Juno?
And it's very, it looks very clever. I really can't wait for it.
It does look good. I'm excited to see it as well. Not just because she's in it,
yeah,
but because it looks scary.
Sure, Kevin.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
You slept with your step-parent. Now, I don't...
Did not.
I don't understand this, but there seem to be a lot of stories like this.
Because men marry much younger, hotter women,
right,
after they ditch their first wife and have sons of age or very close to it.
Right.
And then things happen.
And I guess because it's the step-parent, then there's no blood relationship.
Yeah.
But you'd think the fact that it was your father's...
Would you?
Why? I would think would make it creepy.
Yeah, I would think so too.
But apparently not.
No.
We also have Joe Rogan talking about the UFC over the weekend. I don't know if you saw those fights. Some great fights. And Brock Lesnar going, I don't know. I think he may have gone crazy.
Really?
He may have.
He's an animal, apparently.
He just lost it. It's very funny if you saw that. We got a fight out from Joe, who interviewed him afterwards. He was flipping off the crowd, and everybody was booing. He was like, yeah, boo me some more. It's really bizarre. So we're going to talk to Joe about that. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Good.
Catch up on all things Michael Jackson and if there's anything else in the entertainment world going on.
Yeah.
We have Lisa Russell, who is the name of one of the mothers in Bruno, one of the mothers of the kids.
Yes.
When Bruno was going to do the, quote, hottest baby photo shoot in the world.
Yes.
Well, that scene, which was way worse than we were led to believe, which I love it when a movie advertises something and you're shocked, and then it goes much further than that in the movie. I really like that.
They did not spoil it, really.
But the mothers and fathers in those scenes are not to be believed. Just, you could do anything with my kid you want as long as I get the job.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they were even listening.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you're going to dress up like Hitler, and then there's going to be another little baby. You're going to be pushing him in a stroller, and it's going
to
be...
To an oven.
Like, yeah, a little Jewish. And you just go, how are these parents not listening to what he's saying?
I can't imagine.
I guess they want the gig no matter what, but we're going to talk to one of them. Very excited about that.
Yes.
And we have Miguel Angel Torres in the studio, nice. WEC Championship fighter. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we have K-Rock's Road Trip USA also on the way. We'll tell you about that. And Ralph's Showbiz Beat is next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning with a ridiculous amount of concert tickets to give away today. How about Pearl Jam at the Gibson Amphitheater on this morning's program?
Got that.
How about that?
Yep.
How about, I don't know, how about front row seats to see Incubus at the Hollywood Bowl on today's show?
What?
How about Kings of Leon at the Forum? Plus, you're eligible for Road Trip USA Destination Number 1, which is Kings of Leon in Nashville, practically their hometown. How about all of that on today's show?
Stop. My heart can't take it.
I know. It does seem like too much for one little tiny Kevin and Bean show, but your chance to win all this good stuff and more details on the way. First, though, 5:52, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on?
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
I'm just,
Why are you bummed?
I'm not bummed. I'm hungover.
Oh, hungover.
Yeah.
Oh.
A buddy of mine from New York is in this weekend hanging out.
Yeah.
At the house, and I realize him moving to New York saved my life.
Wow.
Because if he still lived in Los Angeles, I would be looking for a transplant.
But he was here.
Several major organs, not just the liver.
He was here all weekend, so
yeah,
you...
he's still here, yeah.
So you're...
He still may be drinking as we speak. He might be listening and drinking as we speak.
Maybe you should do the same.
I think I should. Still, the summer of death continues. I know you guys probably aren't as big a boxing fan as I am, but legendary former champion Arturo Gatti found dead over the weekend.
But he lived
the summer of death.
He lived a good long life, though.
He was 37.
Wow.
I was bummed. He was strangled by a purse strap in his hotel room. They think his wife may have done it.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Bad story.
He's
bad
a fighter.
Story. Yeah. Arturo Gatti was a former champion, a junior welterweight, junior lightweight, too. He had a couple of belts in a couple different divisions. Legendary series of fights with another fighter named Mickey Ward back in the early 2000s. And he was always a very exciting fighter. I liked him a lot, and it's just sad.
The summer of death!
So just be careful out there, people. So I'm telling you, it's the summer of death.
What did his wife weigh in at if she was able to do that?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but they are currently investigating.
Four and a quarter.
She's a big woman. Yeah. She had a Khloe Kardashian type vibe about her. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this week. This week, we do every Monday. We take a look at the big movies over the weekend. And congratulations to Bruno. What's up? $30.4 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
How about that?
I ain't got a chance to catch it, but I've heard it's gay.
What?
Yeah, that's what this dude told me.
Dewan, one of our favorite listeners of all time, went and was surprised that it was slightly gay.
Asked for his money back, if I understand correctly.
Did.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that that's what it was, because they've been advertising just the opposite. Oh, wait. They haven't.
Number two at the box office was Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen came in at number three, then Public Enemies and The Proposal. Number five, Hangover. Six, I Love You, Beth Cooper, and its debut made about $5 million, which made it number seven at the box office. Then Up, My Sister's Keeper, and The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, you know I love to follow the best of the worst ideas for new motion pictures.
They've been coming fast and furiously, these bad ideas.
Yep.
They're making a new Fast and Furious movie?
Oh, Gilligan! Today announced the live-action big screen version of Hong Kong Phooey.
What? Not interested.
I'm not sure if you remember the 1970s Hanna-Barbera animated Saturday morning TV series Hong Kong Phooey.
Don't really.
But it was about a dog who is a police station janitor who would jump into a filing cabinet and become a kung fu expert.
That is a terrible idea. One of your worst.
Wait, a person?
A dog.
A dog kung fu expert?
Yes. Yeah. Kevin?
But it had to jump into a drawer.
He would jump into a filing cabinet.
Okay.
And then come out in his Hong Kong Phooey costume.
Okay.
He was mild-mannered janitor Henry.
How is a dog a janitor in the beginning?
First of all, that's a talent. When you got a dog sweeping up after you at the police station, you should be impressed enough. And then on top of it, he becomes a kung fu expert and fights crime. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. So there you go. Here's your new big budget motion picture.
Live action?
Yeah, sure. I believe it might be a one of those live-action animation combos.
Mm.
So Hong Kong may be animated, and the rest of the cast
Phooey.
The rest of the cast will be human.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much work it sounds like Jason Lee has on tap. The guy is going to be exhausted by the time 2010's over.
He does specialize in the in working with little cartoon animals, so good for him. Also, last week we were talking about the big-budget, big-screen adaptation of the comic book The Green Lantern.
Yes.
Popular DC comic being turned into a motion picture next year, and they finally decided who will play the role of the Green Guardian himself. Ryan Reynolds nabbed the plum role of the Green Lantern.
What a shame, because you were looking forward to going to that before.
Yeah, I know. Bradley Cooper, Justin Timberlake, and even Jared Leto had been discussed as well, but Ryan nabbed it based on his popularity this year with Deadpool and the Wolverine movie and The Proposal. With Bullock,
Sandra Bullock. Yes. Bullock, yeah. I think your hatred of him is odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems fine to me.
Okay.
You don't not have to great. Hate him, man. It's not great, but your hatred is strange, strangely strong.
I find him super annoying.
Yeah?
Yeah. And less than talented. Since he did that Two Guys and a Pizza.
Oh, that's
TV series.
Right.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
He did a sitcom.
It was
I remember
on for the a cup, long time.
But I don't remember
Two
this. Guys and a Girl in a Pizza,
pizza.
Parlor, I think it was called.
Yeah.
It was that. Not good.
And he's a Canadian.
Even more importantly, he is.
And he stole Scarlett Johansson away from you, Ralph.
Word. Artie Lang, comedian and drunkard, was stopped by cops in Toms River, New Jersey over the weekend for driving under the influence. What a surprise Artie Lang would be loaded behind the wheel.
Hey, at least he kicked heroin. I mean, this is a step up for him just getting a DUI.
That's true. He was popped at 1:30 in the afternoon, by the way.
Afternoon!
And, you know, it's a good sign when you're nabbed for drunk driving at 1:30
sounds like,
in the afternoon.
Sounds like your weekend.
Yeah, really.
That's amazing.
I'm smart to keep my ass at home and stay off the roads. Bean, do you follow Vanessa Hudgens on the Twitter? I know you're the big Twitter guy. Do you follow Vanessa Hudgens?
I do not.
You don't?
Do. Wow, that's a shock.
I'm surprised because she was in those High School Musical.
Yeah, but he didn't like her. Remember, he went for the dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just follow my sweet Zach, yeah.
Well, if you're one of those who do follow Vanessa on the Twitter, you've been duped. An imposter. Vanessa Hudgens does not post on the Twitter. But there is a Vanessa Hudgens posting stories and things from her, but it is a fake person.
Ah.
Well, the person's real. But
right.
The Vanessa Hudgens part
it's
is
not
fake.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Exactly, yeah.
Twitter has started in the last few weeks to verify celebrity accounts. So more increasingly now, you're able to see, yes, this is the real Lindsay Lohan or whoever it is you're interested in.
She is furious with the person who's impersonating her on the social network, making up ridiculous stories. Says that... B, do you have your microphone up your nose?
I don't.
I can hear you breathing really, really loud.
Well, look who you're talking about.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
He's very excited. Zac Efron, one of her tweets said, supposedly bought her a bowling alley.
What?
And that was it for Vanessa. She was furious that story was out there.
That's the one?
Yeah, that was the one that tore it. Just that's enough. So she is trying to contact the Twitter people and ask that this account be taken off the site.
You don't want people to think somebody bought you a bowling alley.
No, you do not.
Then they start asking you if they can bowl for free, and it's just a nightmare.
It is an endless cycle of violence that follows after that. I don't know why. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Patrick Stewart. Make it so. 69 years old today.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Of course, the captain of the Enterprise on Star Trek The Next Generation, Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones is 67 years old today.
I wonder if we should talk to him and find
out
what
he's playing.
You mean 167,
no,
right?
No, only just 67. Comedian Cheech of Cheech and Chong, Cheech Marin, is 63 years old today. Actor-director Cameron Crowe, a writer as well, is 52. And drummer Will Champion of Coldplay celebrates his 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning. By the way, Dave, the King of Mexico, is out again today. He's on the road with Paramore and No Doubt. And we were exchanging texts over the weekend. He went to see the bands in Chicago, right?
Right.
And then he got a brilliant idea on Sunday that he was going to drive up to Milwaukee, which is like 2 hours away, to see the Dodgers play because the Dodgers were in town playing the Brewers. So he drove to Milwaukee, got there. Found out the game was completely sold out. Couldn't even get a scalper ticket. Had to turn around and drive back to Chicago. That was Dave's big Sunday.
He's the best.
It was a trip to Milwaukee and back for naught.
Now,
you enjoy that.
Did you get an idea whether he got an interview with Haley? He told us. He promised
us. That's right.
Very tight-lipped. Wait, why am I hearing whispering here? Or whistling? What's going on here?
I'm just biding my time until your horrible story is over.
Hey. Roland?
Yes, Roland.
Hey, Roland.
First of all, how do you always get on the air? We didn't call you. We didn't answer any phones. How are you talking to us on the radio?
Because your primitive communication system is so easy to tap into from my secret basement lair.
Wow.
Also known as my basement of my mom's house.
We were talking about Dave the King of Mexico in Chicago.
He's trying to get an interview with Haley from Paramore because that's his new girlfriend, and he told us he was going to, but he's being very tight-lipped about it. So we don't know whether he got her or not. We know he was going to try
that
at the show.
That is fascinating. Please continue.
Well, what is it that
tell me more about interviews he may or may not have gotten for you?
What is it that you want us to talk about?
The most important showbiz story in the world. You guys just glanced over and ignored practically.
We are tired of the Michael Jackson coverage.
Not
there's too much. What,
Bruno?
The Green Lantern disaster, as it's now being called.
Well, yeah, but that's coming out next year or something, right?
December 2010.
All right, how excited can we be about a movie that comes out in a year and a half?
How excited can you be about a Green Lantern played by Ryan Reynolds?
I don't really have any interest in who plays the Green Lantern.
Yeah. Well, you should, because the Green Lantern's one of the most storied comic book characters in all of history.
Ralph went on for about a week last Friday about the Green Lantern, and we were confused. I don't even understand how
it
works.
And he did a shabby job, by the way, of talking about the character.
Is that right?
Because he completely ignored the original incarnation of the Green Lantern, which was created by Bill Finger back in 1940.
Bill's last name is Finger?
Bill Finger.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And in 1940, the original Green Lantern, who of course had the secret identity of Alan Scott, found a mystical magical lantern by a train track and then fashioned a ring out of it and had magical powers.
How do you care about this?
Because it's important!
Roland, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't going to go see the Green Lantern no matter who played the title character, so it doesn't really matter to me if it's Ryan Reynolds or not.
Ryan Reynolds! Oh, my God. Just change the character to the Pink Lantern.
What do you have against him?
And this is from a guy who's never seen a woman naked live.
Wow. You've never seen a live naked?
No, a live naked. Or a woman.
Hey, Roland, I was confused also, just like Kevin, when Ralph was trying to explain the Green Lantern. So you're telling me that his kryptonite is the color yellow?
The Green Lantern ring in the modern Green Lantern lore does not work on anything yellow.
Okay, doesn't that sound stupid to you?
The original Green Lantern from 1940, his ring wouldn't work on anything made out of wood.
So you can hit him with a baseball bat.
Exactly.
So
it's actually an improvement.
So if I wear a yellow T-shirt, I win? That's what it takes to beat the Green Lantern?
Well, he couldn't take your T-shirt off, if that's what you wanted him to do,
no, but
Ryan Reynolds. But he could hit you in the head if your head wasn't yellow. However, you do have a giant yellow head,
I do.
Perhaps you would be impenetrable to the Green Lantern.
What are his powers? What does the Green Lantern do? Is he just very bright? He just puts out light?
Yeah, you can just read by him. Yeah, that's what his power
is. He's a lantern.
No, he gets his power from the Green Lantern, which was given to him, of course, from the Guardians of the Universe. The Guardians of the Universe, who have their secret headquarters on the planet Oa, and they keep order throughout the universe by enlisting this Green Lantern Corps. It's kind of like an intergalactic police force.
Ah, so there's other characters besides the Green Lantern that get together?
He is simply the Green Lantern for Space Specter 2814, including the planet Earth.
Wow.
Okay, does he always have to carry the lantern with him in order to use its power?
He has to recharge his ring every 24 hours in order to use the ring's power.
And he does that by putting it near the lantern?
He sticks the ring inside the lantern and recites the Green Lantern oath.
What is the oath?
In brightest day or darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light. And then the ring is charged for 24 hours, and then he can battle crime.
Roland, this doesn't strike you as maybe the dumbest thing ever?
Well, now that Ryan Reynolds is playing him, it all seems kind of stupid.
No, I'm saying the whole thing where he's got to charge his ring by putting it in a lantern, he's got to quote that stupid thing, and then that's all stupid too, right?
But then he gets to be an intergalactic crime fighter who gets to imagine anything he wants, and the ring will manifest it real. Let me think of a giant boxing glove and punch you in the face with it. The ring does it, makes a giant green boxing glove.
Unless it's something's yellow, and then he doesn't know what to do.
Why are you so hung up on the yellow
because
thing?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Doesn't it seem to you that there's a reason why they made 100 other superhero movies before they got to the Green Lantern? Like, maybe this one doesn't make the grade?
They're saving the best for last, towards the end. Sure, this won't be the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, once they've done the Supermans and the Batmans and the Iron Mans and the Wolverines and all of those, they go, well, we're out. What else? Is there anything else left? Anything scraping the bottom of the barrel that we could get people to pay money to say, oh, we haven't made Green Lantern yet. Let's do that.
You mark my words. A year from now, when everyone's wearing Green Lantern rings and reciting the oath in the streets, you'll say, oh, I remember my old friend Roland who told us this is going to sweep the nation with mania.
Yeah, it's. I don't see that happening.
Beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Okay,
beware it.
All right.
Roland, you keep talking like this, you're never going to get your own Live Naked.
Yeah, I know. No more Live Naked for me.
I haven't heard much about Michael Jackson lately. What's he up to? Anyone know?
Oh, just normal.
Yeah.
Everyday stuff.
We were all talking after the memorial service that it would have been the greatest show business story of all time if he would have leapt out of the coffin right in the middle of the service. Like right while Mariah Carey was singing or something, he would have just jumped out and go, psych! But that unfortunately didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think he would shout psych, but at least maybe it would be like PR for the tour or something, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, of course, has been following all things Jackson before, during, and after his death, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Liz May.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your weekend?
How was your weekend?
I worked all weekend long. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
I heard you on the radio all weekend long.
But I have a theory.
Okay.
And I couldn't wait to talk to you about it today because I've been able to talk to anybody about it.
Harvey, by the way, we've talked to a lot of entertainment reporters. The thing that scares us about Harvey is that he's never wrong. And that he knows everything.
Yeah, sure.
No, this is merely a theory.
Okay.
But it just makes so much sense to me. So here's what, I have a theory on what should happen to Michael Jackson, his body.
Okay.
I think Steve Wynn, who he was really good friends with, should build a mausoleum in the Mirage.
Wow.
Okay. It's $25 a person.
Wow.
And it would be like visiting Napoleon's tomb in France.
For Lenin.
That's pretty smart, although don't you think the family's going to want to do something at Neverland? There's got to be...
But Vegas is so him anyway.
Yeah.
And the idea, just think, it would fuel the estate more than Elvis's.
Yeah, that's true, because there are so many people already there.
Right.
Everybody would see.
Interesting.
I would go.
Yeah, and you fill up the room, you make it a big room that's filled with memorabilia and stuff and movies and things like that, and then you actually get to see the grave, right?
Totally.
Wow, that's pretty smart.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, Neverland is like so out of the way.
People would go to Neverland. I don't think they'd have a problem with that. But since there are millions of people already in Vegas, and you're right, that's the total, people would go, what do you want to do? Well, let's go see Michael Jackson.
My money's on Vegas.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Anyway.
So, Harvey, assuming whether that happens or not, isn't it unusual for the body to not be buried at this point? Hasn't he been dead for 3 weeks or something?
He's been dead for actually a little more than two.
He's been dead for about 15 years, by the way, if you don't mind
my
saying so.
Why have they not put it somewhere yet?
What I'm told is the family, as of last week at least, they hadn't decided where it was going to go. I mean, there are a lot of people involved in this thing. It's not the most organized family in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a time factor? I mean, isn't it like 2 or 3 days? How long can they go?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's a legal time where they have to do it. But, you know, I know that it's, as they say, in play. And
right.
They haven't. At least as of last week, late last week, they hadn't made a decision.
Okay.
We got to talk about this new stuff that we put up today.
About all the drugs?
Debbie Rowe.
Oh, Debbie Rowe, right, yes.
Debbie Rowe injected Michael Jackson with drugs a lot.
Now, this was the woman that he married.
Married.
Yes, and she was an assistant to the dermatologist that he went to?
She was an assistant to Dr. Now, here's what's going on. And we've published a couple of things this weekend. Yes, she was an assistant to Arnie Klein. In terms of looking at doctors, because this is the big story right now. You know, Michael Jackson was a hardcore drug addict.
Right.
And he was also an anesthesia addict. And I know that sounds terrible, but he just was.
You know what? It sounds unbelievable because you don't have access to anesthesia unless you're Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
right.
But he did. And courtesy of some doctors. So here's where this stands right now. You know Dr. Conrad Murray, the doctor who was at the house?
Right.
They are closing in on Conrad Murray. I can just tell you that. They have, you know, more and more evidence that he's the one, and this is what we're getting from law enforcement sources, that he's the one who gave him this propofol. And that's where they're heading
now,
right now.
Are we talking taking away doctor's license? Are we talking about bringing up on charges? What are we talking about?
What I can say to you is do not be surprised if this death is ruled a homicide.
Wow.
And secondly, do not be surprised if they decide, if they find out who administered this drug and or who supplied it, they could prosecute for manslaughter. This drug should never be used outside of a hospital. And and the standard for manslaughter is basically reckless disregard for human life. And that is a pretty classic definition.
But they're talking more about an accidental abuse of this drug rather than an act of killing, right?
Yeah, it's not that you intentionally killed somebody, but if your conduct is reckless, I mean, if I'm driving my car in your direction and don't mean to hit you and plan to turn in the last minute and I don't do it because I screw up, I'm going to be prosecuted for involuntary manslaughter.
Right.
Yeah, and a doctor certainly has the knowledge to know what this drug will do to you.
I'm just telling you, do not be surprised. If they find out who, if they feel they've got clear evidence that a particular doctor administered this drug, do not be surprised if there's a manslaughter prosecution.
Wow.
And, Harvey, what
okay,
was...
So there's a second thing, which is who the hell kept Michael Jackson addicted to drugs for years? And that is a second thing that both the LAPD and the coroner are looking at right now. And, you know, this, and they are looking at the prescription practices of a bunch of doctors who allegedly used aliases, phony names, did all these crazy things since the early 90s to fuel this guy with drugs. And Debbie Rowe, who worked for Dr. Arnie Klein, was injecting him with something in his butt in August of 93, for acne treatments. Before he got acne treatments, she would inject something in his rear end.
She had acne on his ass?
No. I'm not saying that. Jesus, guys.
Sorry. Look, I'm just saying.
I'll stop.
All right. So then you also listed very recently when they raided Neverland from the last trial, and the list of drugs in his house was like a hospital.
Yeah, I mean. Listen, Michael Jackson had an addiction problem for years. He had problems with Xanax. He was taking, according to some employees, up to 30 to 40 Xanaxes a day.
Oh, my God.
But he was hooked on Demerol. I've talked to doctors in town. He would do anything to get anesthesia, and he would get minor treatments. Or not even, but just to get anesthesia. It was an addiction for him.
Wow.
And this propofol is something that he used for sleep, and it may well be what killed him.
He used it just for a regular night's sleep?
There is evidence the reason he died, and you know, you got to wait for the coroner, and it hasn't come out yet, but they're going in this direction that somebody gave him this propofol, which is, when you get like a minor procedure at a hospital,
yep.
And they do it even more, but especially for like quick surgeries,
right.
And they tell you to count backwards from 10, you get to 7 with propofol, and you're out. And it is a very powerful drug, and they think that he did it because he couldn't sleep. He was taking it, and it gives you a very restful sleep, even though you don't sleep a long time, and he wanted it.
I wonder if he was using it as a party gift at birthday parties that he threw for the kids, too. You got to wonder about that.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Hey, one more thing before you go, Harvey, and it's also on the Michael Jackson story, which is it true what the Hollywood Reporter came out with last week, that Joe Jackson and the family are charging for these interviews, and they've made hundreds of thousands of dollars in interviews since Michael died?
Well, there are stories about some of them now. I don't know. I mean, we certainly haven't done anything like that. But, you hear all sorts of stories. And I just heard one today that he's trying to get some of the kids to go on a tour and a concert tour. He's pushing record labels. I mean, it is.
He's
there's
so
some craziness in that family. I know.
It's a cash grab.
Yeah,
and I heard he's charging just a ton of money. Like, he's going over to England because there's so much press coverage. The shows were supposed to begin tonight at the O2 that Michael Jackson was going to do. He's going over there, and he's basically available. You pay him, he'll come on your show, and you can interview him.
Well, I mean, the weird thing is, though, he held a press conference. That was for free with Al Sharpton, remember?
Oh, sure.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So, I mean, the whole thing is just crazy.
What is the biggest non-Michael Jackson story? I know we're out of time, but the biggest one that's not getting any attention because it's all Michael Jackson?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest one is the South Carolina. I mean, the luckiest man in America is the South Carolina governor, don't you think?
Yeah. We forgot all about him, yeah.
Is he the one that admitted cheating on his wife?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although it's still big in political circles, it would have been a huge story elsewhere. But
I saw in Stephen Colbert that he made a joke that he made the announcement that he cheated on his wife one day too early. If he would have just waited a day, no one would have known.
True. It's not a joke. It's actually a really funny point. It's absolutely true.
All right.
Well, you can get the latest on these stories and everything else going on in the world of show business at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Good talking to you guys.
So I was watching the WWE this weekend on Saturday night. Joe Rogan
calling it. No,
what?
Actually,
what?
That was, I know it looked like it was actually UFC 100 is what you were watching. It just looked a little E-ish.
We have Joe Rogan on the phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What a wild weekend that must have been.
It was pretty crazy.
It seemed, I know, you know, everybody hypes the fights and everybody hypes the weekends and everybody hypes the, but it seems like the hype this time was all real.
Yeah, well, it was a huge event for being, you know, the 100th UFC, but the main event was also a huge event in and of itself, just because of Brock Lesnar, just who he really is. You know, he really is that guy.
He is, isn't he?
You know, yeah, he's a scary dude.
Yeah. For people who didn't see the fight, tell them about Brock Lesnar and what went wrong.
Well, what happened was he did what he wanted to do. He got Frank Mir to the ground and he punched his face flat.
I mean, that's true.
That's really what he did.
Yeah.
But what happened afterwards was Mir was knocked unconscious and he got back up to his feet. His face looked like ground meat. I mean, it looked horrible.
It was rough, yeah.
It was swollen. And Lesnar got in his face and started screaming, "Don't you ever talk any beep about me ever again." And
yeah.
It was really kind of disturbing.
You don't,
it was real.
You don't see that very often when somebody gets pretty much just pummeled, and then the guy's still in his face. That is an extra step of bad sportsmanship.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before.
Do you think that was a product of A, him getting beaten by Mir, and B, Mir mouthing off about it?
Yes, yes. And it was also his personality, you know. And he apologized for it in the press conference and said that he's just a sore loser and, you know, and that's just, he had all this pent-up rage and frustration. But I don't know if he can, you know, just chalk it off just to that. It's not just he's a sore loser. I think he's crazy.
So he beat up
Mir. He might be.
And then apparently Dana White forced his way into the locker room, took him into the bathroom, gave him a good tongue lashing, and then he came out and he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it.
So it was emotion. It was adrenaline. I mean, he just lost control is basically what happened, right?
I guess. Yeah, you know, I mean, I just think that that's the kind of, that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's just a really angry guy.
And don't you think that for all the people who were booing him and now are on the I hate Brock Lesnar, that there are an equal amount of people who now love him even more because he's so wild?
All the retards, for sure.
Yeah.
How many redneck fans just went through the roof? How many times? Come to life.
Yeah, no,
that's exactly what it was like. Yeah. How many times did he hit Mir in the face while Mir was down? Was it like 14 or something crazy?
It was a bunch.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he basically controlled his head in the first round. Mir had him in a position called the half guard, and Lesnar held on to Mir's head and cupped his armpit, and he had him in a weird position where Mir couldn't really do much. All he could do was just get punched in the face.
And he's so freaking big.
He's huge.
It just seemed like, and Mir, who's a big guy in great shape, it just seemed like he was just taking it. I mean,
Mir was a good 40 to 50 pounds lighter than him in the octagon. I mean, the crazy thing about, you know, Lesnar is that he has to actually cut weight to make the UFC heavyweight limit of 265 pounds. So he has to dehydrate himself to make that weight. He really walks around at about 290.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, we have Joe Rogan on the phone. We're recapping UFC 100, which was, as Kevin said, lived up to the hype. We had Dana White on Friday, and he was like, I don't even know what's going to happen, you guys, but I can't wait to see it. And I think that's what a lot of fans were thinking. Let's move down the card a notch and talk about the welterweight championship bout. Were you surprised by that one at all, Joe?
No, I wasn't surprised by it, but, you know, George St. Pierre, he's a master. You know, he really is like one of the very few guys, and his personality is direct. I mean, is in direct contrast to Brock Lesnar.
Yes, he's the nicest, most pleasant guy afterwards. He gave the other fighter props. He was bowing to everybody. I mean, he just seems like the coolest guy in the world. But when he starts fighting, he's a freaking transformer.
Yeah, he's a machine.
He was unbelievable how much he dominated that fight.
He's so well-rounded. You know, that's the amazing thing about George. He's not just – most guys are specialists. They're really good in one area. Like Brock Lesnar is a wrestler. That's
right.
What he's good at. He's good at taking guys down and punching them in the face. Thiago Alves, George's opponent, was a really good kickboxer. That's what he's known for. But George is so good in all areas that he dominated him in the kickboxing, and then he dominated him taking him down, and he just really did whatever he wanted to do to him. I mean, he's just a master strategist.
His shorts are too tight, though, Joe.
They make you uncomfortable or horny.
I didn't know if I was watching Bruno or what was going on there, but he's got to loosen that up.
Canadian.
So then we got the Bisping Henderson fight, and was that another situation where a guy mouthed off too much and it came back to bite him in the ass?
Yeah, well, a lot of guys feel like they can mouth off to guys and then they'll get inside their head and the guy will get emotional and he'll make mistakes. And, you know, that might work, but on a guy like Dan Henderson, it's really not worth doing. Because, first of all, he's fought everybody. He's fought the toughest guys in the world for, you know, over a decade. He's not going to get nervous. He's not going to get upset.
Right.
You know, he's not going to get emotional. But you might piss him off, and that is what happened with Bisping and Henderson. Bisping pissed him off, and Henderson blasted him.
Yeah.
It was, first of all, a case, honestly, in my personal, professional opinion, of a fighter who was just fighting a guy who was on another level, period.
Right.
You know, Henderson was just, he's just better. He's been around a lot longer. Michael Bisping is one of those guys who's a really good fighter, but there's not one area where he really stands out in. Whereas Dan Henderson has vicious knockout power, and he's a Greco-Roman wrestler from the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a world-class wrestler. So he had those two huge advantages coming in that fight, and he was, you know, just supremely confident and wanted to shut Bisping up and did.
Yeah, and did it with his right hand, and everybody in the world knew it was going to be his right hand, and he telegraphed that it was going to be his right hand, and just waited, and then it was his right hand.
And Bisping still kept circling to his left.
Right, he was walking right into it.
Ran right into Dan Henderson's right-hand power. And then the really disturbing part was he knocked him out cold with one punch and then flew through the air and dropped a flying punch down on his face while he was prone and out cold.
And I thought it was – I was surprised that he was so forthcoming when you asked him after the fight –
You knew he was out, you know, right? Why did you go for that extra punch? And he said, just to shut him up.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he just was so tired of the talking.
They don't have any rules about hitting someone when they're out?
Well, the ref didn't get there fast enough.
Yeah, the referee has to stop. Because honestly, he didn't necessarily know whether or not Bisping was going to wake right up real quick and roll over and defend himself, and the referee would have the fight keep going. You don't really know a guy's out until, you know, it takes a couple seconds to realize it.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty good idea that he was out, but he still launched himself at him. You know, Bisping, I guarantee you, will never piss off that guy again.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Joe, it sounds like even you were a little bit surprised at some of the violence in the ring this time around.
It was pretty intense, but I think that's what happens when you get all this hype behind things and all this emotion behind things.
Yeah.
People get so worked up. And in the case of like Brock Lesnar is not the type of guy who likes to talk a lot. He likes to let his actions do his talking for him, but he was forced to do so much press for these fights.
Yeah.
Because there was so much hype behind it. It was UFC 100 for months and months and months. He had to listen to Frank Mir talk about how he was going to beat him, how he was going to be easy, about how he hits like a girl, all these different things, and he took it very seriously.
Well, and the other thing people need to remember is it's not like football or basketball or baseball where they continually compete. These guys train for months without competing, and then just build up and build up and build up, and then when it finally gets to fight night, man, they are out of their minds.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a gigantic moment for them, you know. I mean, and the training that they do is really, it's more is required of them than is literally required for any other sport, because of the fact that there's so many different things going on in the octagon with the grappling and the striking and the defending and defending submissions, and there's so much you have to work on that these guys are training all day, every day for months on end.
Yeah.
Brutal, rigorous training every day. And all you can do besides that training is eat and sleep, because you don't have any energy left to do anything else.
I think I can finally answer your question, Joe. I think I was a little turned on by St. Pierre.
I finally come to grips with it.
I think I have, yeah.
I think, well, I was a little too. I'm not going to lie to you.
It was unbelievable. I can't wait to see what happens in 101, whatever they got planned for that. But it's going to be tough to beat Saturday night, Joe.
Yeah, I don't think, well, it's going to be real hard to ever find a card that's that stacked. I mean, it was one of the most stacked cards in the, if not the most, in the history of the sport. And it lived up to the hype, though. It was pretty crazy.
It sure did. Do you, as the announcer, get your choice of the ring girls?
No.
You don't? Okay.
even with your beautiful new nose, Joe, I would imagine you'd be attracting the ladies like crazy now.
I can't smell them right now. I had, for those who don't know, deviated septum surgery a week and a half ago, and so that's why I sound like I'm sick. I had all broken cartilage and bones cleaned out of my nose, so it's still a little funky.
Well, yeah, you did a great job. You did a great job Saturday night. It was a great fight, and we hope to. When's the next one?
UFC 101 is in August. The beginning of August, the first weekend in Philadelphia. I think it's the 7th or the 8th.
Well, we'll have you back in before then, I hope.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Find your excuse at visitlasvegas.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I'm not looking for that. I need to leave Vegas so that I live. That's my thing. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. By the way, having sex with your step-parent is going to be the topic that is going to be on the table in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm going to step out and go have some breakfast.
This is how you want to come back from the weekend, right?
Look, it's not blood.
Right?
It's not blood. You're not related. It's all good. High five. Up top.
You wouldn't think it was weird at all if the two people didn't know each other, met in a bar, and had sex. You just got to kind of forget the messy he's married to my mom or my dad.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly. That's all.
It's pretty messy.
Anyway, that's coming up at 6:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of sex, don't do the dirty cowboy. I'm just giving you people the warnings out there. Don't do the dirty cowboy.
Bad experience over the weekend?
No, I did. I just read about it over the weekend. It happened in Houston.
Don't do that.
Deborah Parker, who is 38 years old, had a common law husband named Broderick Kraken. He's 58. They were doing the dirty cowboy, which involved her wearing spurs.
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
And a lasso.
Oh, no.
And a loaded gun.
No.
There you go.
Nope.
And apparently sometime during the dirty cowboy,
the gun went off, and she shot Broderick in the chest, and he died
underneath
her.
On purpose or accident?
No, by all
or?
Accounts, it was an accident.
So the dirty cowboy lifts
herself. The dirty cowboy, I'm saying, don't try it.
Don't do that.
At home. Or if you are going to try it, maybe you want to take the bullets out of the gun.
I'd say don't try it is better advice.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with Ralph. Try it, but make sure the gun's unloaded. Yeah. You'll be fine that way.
I mean, the spurs and lasso, that sounds kind of fun. But the bullet.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
The sucking chest wound, though, kind of turns me off.
Yeah. You know, it's not as attractive.
No, not so much. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. We do that every weekend. No, we don't, because we're not on the weekends. We do it every Monday regarding the weekend's box office. So let's take a look at who did well. Bruno. He said, catching himself from saying Borat.
Bruno G.
Bruno did very well. $30.4 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
Hola, bitches!
Followed by Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Just slightly behind Bruno with $28.5 million made it number two. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen came in at number three. Then Public Enemies, The Proposal, The Hangover, I Love You, Beth Cooper, and its debut was number seven. Up, My Sister's Keeper was number nine. And The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 rounds out your top ten.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I know. Been drinking all weekend.
I would pin the red, as they used to say in the radio business, if you gave me a breathalyzer right now. Lady Gaga's in the news.
Oh.
There we go.
We're waiting for the sound effect.
She's single again, fellas. So good news.
Woo-hoo.
Lady Gaga is single.
How about?
She was dating a business mogul from the UK who was only known by the name Speedy. How big a business mogul can you be if you just go by Speedy?
You're either really big or nothing.
Or a drug dealer.
You have to be one or the other.
Yeah. Speedy and Lady Gaga have broken up.
Wow.
They were caught holding hands and kissing just a month ago in Hawaii. However, the relationship has ended. Lady Gaga says regarding her sexual needs, I just sleep with the guys in my band all the time because it's easier.
Right.
So this way she doesn't need a relationship so
there
much.
You go.
Well, maybe Speedy accidentally saw her before she put the mask on one morning, and that was the deal breaker for her.
How dare you. Speaking of relationships, too bad Dave the King of Mexico is out of the city because he would appreciate this story.
Yeah.
Step Up stars, Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan have married.
Really?
The couple met on the set of the 2006 film Step Up. They announced their engagement last September, and they got married this weekend in Malibu at a 15-minute ceremony at the Malibu Vineyards. By the way, that's the way to go if you're getting married. 15 minutes is just about the limit.
The
high end on the ceremony length you want to get. Apparently, a ton of celebrities were also involved. Emmanuel Chariqui.
Oh,
from Entourage,
yeah,
was Jenna's maid of honor. Actress Hailey Duff was one of the bridesmaids. A lot of celebrities were in attendance. So Channing Tatum was also that guy fighting.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah, we had him in the studio.
Yeah,
nice guy.
Talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to those.
Did they stomp the yard after the wedding?
They stomped the grapes, actually, because they were at a vineyard. So they made some wine everybody to enjoy afterwards. It was very entertaining. And Rachel Ray's in the news.
Uh-oh.
She apparently had to have surgery last week to remove a benign cyst from her vocal cord. What a surprise that Rachel Ray, with those dulcet tones of hers, would have any sort of cyst on her vocal cords. Because usually she has that sweet, silky, smooth voice that she
says.
And now we get some olive oil and put it in the pan. So no word on how she's going to sound when this is all finished. But she said the hardest...
Rub it in your hand and just gently pull backwards like that.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Thank you, Rachel.
Hardest part for Rachel is giving her voice a rest for a week or so. She's under doctor's orders that she can't speak.
Yeah, that's possible.
So we'll see whether she just has to learn the sign language for Evu.
Speaking of voices, you guys, I know I'm the last person in America to ever see So You Think You Can Dance, but I saw a portion of that over the weekend because my wife TiVo'd it.
Mm-hmm.
That Megan Murphy could be the new most annoying person in the history of television ever. Am I right?
She's not new, by the way.
I know who
she's
been
annoying
new
to me. for a long time. Yeah,
that voice doesn't sound real.
She's one of the judges on the show, Kevin, and she is so grating when she speaks, and then she has this cackle of a laugh that she just unleashes throughout the television program, and it is hard to swallow.
That isn't good for you.
So
that.
Shrill. Yes. And we'll get some sound of her for the next show.
Yeah, I didn't think it was real. I thought it was a gag or something. It was so bad.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Patrick Stewart, who, of course, was Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation, 69 years old today. Here's the great thing about dudes who go bald and gray prematurely.
Yeah.
You look at 69 like you did at 40.
Yeah.
It's very little downward curve on your looks if you lose your hair and go gray prematurely, because then you're sort of status quo for the last 20, 30 years of your life.
That's true.
It's pretty strong. My pleasure.
I know, right?
Harrison Ford is 67 years old today. Cheech Marin of a comedian team Cheech and Chong is 63. Cameron Crowe turns 52. And drummer Will Champion of Coldplay celebrates his 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
Okay,
I don't think this is going to be graphic.
Well, hopefully not, but the whole topic is disturbing, don't you think?
The whole topic is a little ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ew. This story came out last week, and it was about Lorenzo Lamas and his wife, Shauna Sand. They got a divorce, apparently, in 2002. Just before the divorce, Lorenzo Lamas found out that his wife was having sex with his son, her stepson.
Mm-hmm.
So no blood relation, but she was married to Lorenzo and then having sex with his son.
Guess Lorenzo and wasn't getting the job done.
If you're ranking this on the awesome scale, she was a former Playboy playmate. He was 18.
Yeah!
So this is win-win-win is what this is.
Except for Lorenzo. But if you're the dude...
The kid, 18.
I mean, really.
Yeah, come on.
Really, what are you supposed to do?
What do you expect? The only person who would be expect to have control would be the wife.
Would be Shauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the
kid,
I'd like to know.
Just got to go, oh, well.
Well, well.
Yeah,
he's
you can't
18.
Blame him. It's hardly his fault, right? I'd like to know how long were they married? Because let's picture, you know, they got married and Lorenzo's son is whatever he is, 12 or something like that. Yeah. And then he marries this unbelievably hot Playboy playmate. And then he's 13 and then he's 14 and he's still living with this woman. And then at some point it's got to happen. And by the way, Lorenzo Lamas was smart to dump her in 2000 because it was shortly after that she started getting into the freakish plastic surgery. And now she looks horrible.
Yeah. She has destroyed herself with plastic surgery.
Yeah. She looks terrible. But back when Sonny Boy was hitting it, I mean, that was a good pull, right?
AJ. And they said, by the way, that it had been going on for months. This wasn't This wasn't a one-time thing.
Wow.
This was an ongoing thing. And that seems very Woody Allen-esque.
It does.
And a little creepy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's in the role of a parent, which makes it kind of weird. I mean, it's
but
no
come
Morgan.
Come on, how much was she really in the role of the parent?
It's no Morgan Freeman, allegedly. But
okay, now let's talk about Morgan Freeman, 72-year-old Morgan Freeman.
I find this story hard to believe, but there is a story that's being put out there, I believe, by the National Enquirer, that Morgan Freeman allegedly had a long-term affair with his step-granddaughter.
Step-granddaughter.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So there's no blood relation. That's what step means.
Right.
But granddaughter.
Wow. Of course, he's Morgan Freeman.
He's turning it. I mean, he's saying it's not true. It's completely false.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
And he is God, so why would he lie?
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, that seems bad. Now, we've done a lot of topics on this show that I thought we would get no phone calls. One of them was, you faked your own death. We talked about that before, and we said, we're not going to get anyone to call that says they faked their own death. We got 20 calls. We could have kept going all day.
It was...
How
I
many people?
Believe it.
Right. How many people really? You'd think we'd come across topics where no one has had that experience. The other one that shocked me that we did a while ago was you have an escape route for when zombies attack. And we could have taken calls all day long. People had these really, you know, complex, elaborate schemes where they're going to meet at a park, and then they were going to go here, then they're going to meet out of town. It was really bizarre.
That just makes good sense, though, with the zombie invasion right around the corner.
So I find it hard to believe, and I hope we don't get any calls, really, about stepmom, stepdad.
But we will.
I think we will.
No, we will.
But if it's a particularly emotional, any kind of trauma still related to it, don't call us. We can't be trusted with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're not going to be sensitive.
We're not
going to
be sensitive, and we're going to ask.
We're going to point and laugh.
Right. So it's got to be something that didn't destroy you and your past, and everything's cool. But your step-parent.
Yeah.
You had sex with your step-parent.
I think we're going to get calls on this one. I do. And I think there are a lot of parents who remarry when the kid is already, you know, an adult, when the kid is already 20 or something like that. And then, you know, there's really no you don't really have any kind of parental attachment to that person. It's just your husband's wife or your wife's husband. I mean, or your mom's husband.
Right. It's your parents' spouse,
yeah,
which is
that's right.
That seems like a lot.
But I mean, if, but,
we're not
but
saying
if you
it's
did,
ideal, Kevin.
No, but I'm saying if you're 20 when that happens, like let's say, you know, your dad remarries and you're 20 and the new stepmom is pretty hot.
And she's 25.
Really
right.
Well, that's a good point.
Right.
You don't really have any of those growing up. That's my quote unquote mom. So it's kind of icky. You don't really have those feelings. It's just an attractive person of the opposite sex who now you are living with. And I can see how you're, you know, you can kind of get taken away with that.
Yeah. She gets out of the shower a few times, walks through the house with a towel on.
Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Well, you're either going to have to say stop that, which no 20-year-old has the, I don't know, the what? The discipline.
Control
to
yes.
say.
Yes.
Or, you know, keep doing it.
Or you're 18 and your step-grandfather is in Bruce Almighty. What are you going to do? You're going to go for it, right? I mean, you can't turn that down. He's in the freaking Shawshank Redemption. How do you not want to hit that?
But step-granddaughter, I find hard to believe.
That is creepy.
I mean, obviously, we don't have any idea, you know, what the truth is in any of these stories. But you got to guess. I would guess, you know, the Lorenzo Lamas thing. He sounds like he's found out.
I'm guessing that's true.
That seems like that's the case.
True.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call, feel free. You had sex with a step-parent.
Or you're the step-parent.
Oh, or you're the step-parent.
Sure.
Didn't think about that.
Whatever,
sure.
Whoever you might be in this equation, I'd like to talk to you.
You know who's going to call will be the spurned spouse. That's
probably
who's going to be upset
I'd
about
like
it.
I'd like to talk to you, too.
But step-daughter, step-parent, step-sex seems bad. But go ahead and call 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
We had some fear when we brought up this topic. You slept with a step-parent, that this could be the one that we might not get calls on. But Kevin and Bean listeners come through once again, ladies and gentlemen. They're out there. They're out there.
The following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence.
Nope.
It is intended only for mature audiences.
No violence, I hope.
Viewer discretion advised.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be particularly sexually graphic or violent. Just honked up is all it's going to be. So
we need
why don't we start?
Up warning, don't we?
We do. These people are deranged. 1-800-520-1067. Gabe, you hang on. We'll get to you in a second. Why don't we start with Joseph? He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joseph, thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding on. Sex with a step parent for reals?
Yeah, it's something that we said we weren't going to talk about, but
yes, but at least you're not doing it on the radio. All right.
Well,
all right.
Probably listening right now, so hopefully they don't break up over this.
Oh, well, we don't want that to happen.
All right, let's figure out a few of the basics here. First of all, how old were you when this happened?
I was 18 years old.
All right. And how old was your stepmom?
She, not stepmom. It's my actual mom. It's my stepdad.
Whoa, what?
It's my stepdad you guys are talking about.
Is that good? I thought you were talking about it was my actual mom. I was like, okay, don't want to go there.
Oh, so you had sex with your mom's husband.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. All right. And how do you know? You haven't even seen it yet, Lisa. How long had they been married?
For about 3 years now.
All right, and you were you always attracted to him once he came into the house?
Well, actually, it was more like an experiment the first time because I wasn't sure if I was bi or not. And I mean,
oh, you were.
We can answer that. Now, you said three. It's been 3 years. They're still married?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and
they're happy.
Is this still going on?
No, it only happened once, but it was just. It was amazing. I'm not even gonna lie. I was online playing video games with my friends, and then the next thing I know, he comes over and he sits next to me, and I just turn off the game, and yeah,
just traded one joystick for another, right?
One joystick for another.
But do you think obviously your stepdad is gay?
I'm sorry.
Nope, hetero as can be. Lisa.
Is your stepdad gay then? And just
I don't think he is. I think he was just trying it for the first time as well.
This is hard to believe.
What did your mom think when she found out about it?
She still doesn't know, and if she's listening, I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, we'll let you know tomorrow, B.
I'll call you guys back. Definitely.
Call us back tomorrow,
See,
Joseph.
This is weird. She still doesn't know. Doesn't this seem like the type of thing you would never speak of again if you knew it was out there and your mom didn't know about it?
Well, the thing is, he's a great guy, and I still don't like him as much. Because, I mean, you know, they always try to pretend like they're your father and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like, so you need your distance.
He was trying to pretend he was your boyfriend, not your father.
Man, what a card to have over him, though, to play. You know, like, you need to come in by midnight. You go, oh, yeah? Well, what about the time we...
All right, Joseph, we insist on some follow-up if this gets back to her, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. How about that? Didn't see that one coming.
Wow.
Nope.
All right, Gabe, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sex with step-parent is the topic that we're discussing here today. Hey, Gabe, what happened to you?
Oh, well, I was about 23 when this happened, and I moved in with my father in California. And his wife, my stepmother, they had been married for roughly maybe about 6 months.
Right.
And she was a total workout
freak
person.
You may need to turn your radio down. I think that's what's making you sound so retarded, Gabe.
I hope so.
And by retarded, he means you're talking really slowly.
Really, really slowly, yeah, okay. Right. All right. You go up there to live with Dad, and you realize that his new wife is pretty hot, and there was some sort of instant attraction?
I guess I pretty much had an instant attraction with her. But what happened was I was pretty much sitting home, and I wanted to start working out, and since she, you know, obviously did it all the time, I asked her, you know, if she would mind a workout partner or giving me some pointers and or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We started running. We started doing this running thing, and then what we would do, go out for a run, come back, jump in the pool or
and then you gave her a pointer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trainers always end up sleeping with their clients.
That's another one we need to do again.
Oh,
that
man,
happens a lot.
Yep.
So you work out together, then it happens. Did it happen once?
It happened only that once, and it's just awkward now. Every time I see him or her,
No way you could have predicted that.
So Dad knows about it or doesn't know about it?
No, he doesn't know about it.
Would you mind if we called him?
What's that?
Would you mind if we called him? That'd be a lot of fun.
No.
Dave.
Oh,
come on.
He's a big guy, and I'm very intimidated by that guy.
Hey, Gabe, what city do they live in?
He lives in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Los Angeles, California.
Oh, so there's no way he could hear this show then. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
Number one movie this weekend was Bruno, and Sacha Baron Cohen is he's the comedian that created this character. Turns out he acts incredibly gay. Isn't, but acts it.
Yes.
And here's a scene from the movie where he's talking to parents of little babies. He's talking about doing a photo shoot, and he's asking the parents if the babies are comfortable with certain things.
Ich hired a top photographer and held a casting for the hottest baby photo shoot ever.
Is your baby comfortable with bees, wasps, and hornets?
George is comfortable with everything, so he's fine.
Is he comfortable with dead or dying animals?
Yes.
Is she okay with extremely rapid acceleration?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Does she always have to be in a car seat, or can she just, like, freestyle it?
Oh, yeah, you can freestyle it, put her in a car seat, whatever.
If it looks better without the car seat.
Of course.
So what? You're traveling fast. You're not going to kill it.
Of course.
Is your baby fine with lit phosphorus?
Yes.
Excellent. Does he like it?
Loves it.
Okay.
Okay, here's the thing that I always ask when I'm looking at a Sacha Baron Cohen project, which is, how can these people not be in on it?
Me too.
The people that he encounters on the street or in a segment like this, how are they not acting, or how are they not playing along with a script? Because it just seems too good to be true, right?
Well, you would expect every one of those parents to say no.
Right, yeah, exactly.
At some
lit phosphorus.
Something.
Oh, he loves it. He loves lit phosphorus.
I haven't seen the Bruno yet, but every time in the trailer I see where he, you know, puts the scarf on his U.S. Army outfit. I mean, how do you get a camera in and film in an Army training camp, in boot camp, with the Army's not giving you permission? I mean, like, how do you even do that?
To me, that was, I went with a friend, and that really bothered him a lot.
It seems like there were more people in on it this time.
You have to wonder in that particular sequence, definitely.
We have one of the mothers on the phone.
Yes.
Which we didn't get to do after Borat. It's hard to talk to people that are actually in the movie.
Yes.
But, Mom, hi.
Hi.
So you were which one of those mothers?
I was the one in the red sweater.
What was the question?
The very first one.
The very first one with her daughter, but, I was the one where my baby was going to be on the cross, like the Madonna video.
Oh,
right. Right. That part wasn't in the trailer, but in the actual movie, he asks you if it's okay if your baby's on the cross like Jesus.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like it would be harmful for the baby to put him up there for a minute, does it?
No.
All right. Now, you were not in on it.
Yes and no. It was, we were told we were there for a German car commercial, and we were going to be asked bizarre questions.
Right.
And the more we said yes, the better it would be for the video.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So they kind of coaxed you to get what they wanted for the film out of the interview.
Exactly.
Okay, but so she's sitting there, and he says, we want to put her on the cross. That doesn't seem sacrilegious to you, so even though they told you that, you go, I don't know. That strikes me as a little rough.
Well, the whole thing was about 15 minutes long.
Right.
And it was a bunch of questions, and they started off semi-bizarre, and then they went to more bizarre and more bizarre.
Right.
So you either just go with it, and you realize you're going to be on Punk'd or something.
Right.
Or you get up and throw a fit. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I can only answer for myself, which would be to walk out. Well,
I don't know, Kevin. You go for comedy in a situation.
I do, but not when it comes to kids.
All right. Did you recognize Sacha Baron Cohen at all, Lisa?
Afterwards, when I was done, one of the other mothers, she goes, well, I knew halfway through. And I was like, you know what? I realized at the end when I was done and out.
That's part of the problem is that he has these characters that he's created in Britain, and there he can't get away with any of this anymore. That's why
everyone
knows him. So that's why he comes to America, so that he can do the movie.
Right. Where was this, by the way? Where do they round you ladies up for this?
In L.A. through an organization that our children do, you know, commercials, shoots, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So they sent out the word, basically said that they were auditioning for this car commercial. Come on down and be part of it.
Yeah.
So I gotcha. Okay.
Did you really think there was going to be a commercial?
No. Not at the end.
Not?
No. We were all in that room where you see everybody playing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they came in with the video camera and said, oh, we need everybody to play with their children. We need to get that on film to be part of it.
Right.
So when you're all secluded like that and they come in like that and you're supposedly auditioning for a commercial,
well, that seems
normal. You know
normal.
Something's fishy.
What? Why? That seems
they normally take the children in by themselves.
Right.
You don't have the parents on camera.
Oh, I see.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, did you go see the movie this weekend?
Yes, I did.
And what'd you think of it?
You know, I didn't think it was as funny as Borat.
Well, a lot of people are saying that, but
which
did you
is
enjoy
true,
it?
But is it possibly also because you were one of the people on screen?
No, I was only on it for maybe 30 seconds.
Right, but he asked you if it was okay if he put your baby on a cross.
Yeah,
and you said yes.
Yeah, it was all fun. I would never do that, but it was all fun.
Oh, you're the best.
It was so theatrical. It was just, you go with it or you don't.
Yeah.
All right, now here's the question we have to ask, because after the Borat movie came out, it seemed like there were 100 lawsuits. Everybody in the movie ended up suing Sacha Baron Cohen because they said it made him look bad.
Right.
How about you?
Didn't they all lose?
Yeah, they all lost. Yeah. Every one of them lost. Are you going to be suing now?
No.
Good for you.
No, it's comedy. It's all fun. If you can't laugh at yourself, what are you going to do?
Especially if you're you. Now, are you a stage mom? Is that what you do? You take your kid around to, you know, get in these different, beauty pageants and whatnot?
No. My children were asked, and my oldest daughter has done a few things, and it's just stuff to put away in their college fund if something comes up.
Right.
Is your husband happy with this or upset?
No, he's laughing his butt off.
He thinks it's funny.
It's at my expense. He thinks it's hilarious.
Well, I'm glad you came on with us, and we would like to shoot your daughter out of a cannon at the mm-hmm. Acoustic Christmas concert this year, if that would be okay with you.
That's fine.
Awesome.
All right. Now we're talking. Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning, guys. I think I'll ask our guest next hour, Miguel Torres, how I can get into the extreme cage fighting. I think I need a change in career, and I think maybe that's where I should
come
be
on
headed.
Down here.
Well, I think
what do you guys think?
You can get into it tomorrow if you want.
I think that would be perfect for you. You're built for MMA.
You're a natural-born athlete.
Heart.
Yes.
A lot of heart.
Got
a
heart.
Yep.
A lot of commitment. You did the heart of a tiger. Grace of a panther.
And I'm already cut. I would barely have to train at all. I just have to learn the skills of the sport.
Swole and shredded.
His positive outlook.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to do it.
We've got all the tools.
We will talk to the current bantamweight champion in the WEC, Miguel Angel Torres, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's going on?
Who would quit faster in a fight than Bean, I wonder?
Well, after I beat everybody and I was the undisputed champion, there'd be no reason to go.
You would never get in. DJ Spina Bifida is not putting on gloves.
You get punched in the nose and you'd be like, what do you think that you're doing? This is ridiculous. I'm leaving.
He would get knocked out in like 2 seconds.
That would be awesome. You don't know, man.
Yeah, we don't know.
All right. We'll arrange it anytime you want. Ralph will take you.
I'm being serious. Would you fight Lisa? She's trained. If it really came down to it, and there was the opportunity to climb in the ring with Lisa, would you say yes?
I might kill her. I couldn't take that.
She has like a mauve belt or something. Yeah. I don't know what color's your belt.
It's brown. Puce.
She has a brown belt.
Like a knee, and he would go down like a tree.
I think this is the match that we need to set up.
Yeah.
But there's no win in it for me, because if I beat her, then I beat up a girl, you know?
Right, but let's not worry about that.
I think Bean would start crying before the opening bell, just weeping openly,
I
just
don't
sobbing.
Do it. Oh, that would be the best. Yeah. Come on.
That would be. You guys will see, man. You don't know.
All right, we'll see.
I think we do know. Today's celebrity birthday.
Wow, it's starting there.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Bruno, number one. Thanks
What's up? It's been Bruno.
Thanks to that lady sacrificing her children for the sake of comedy.
Oh, she's the best.
God bless her. $30.4 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
Your baby fine with lit phosphorus?
Sure.
Yes.
Excellent. Does he like it?
Loves it.
Loves lit phosphorus.
My baby
like
loves.
Like the kid's ever been exposed to lit phosphorus.
Loves it.
Loves it.
Requests
Can't
it.
Can't get enough of it. We use it instead of formula. Baby loves just a bottle of lit phosphorus in its crib at night. Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs was number two. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, number three. Seriously, got to start shortening these titles.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Public Enemies, number four. The Proposal was fifth. The Hangover came in at number six. I Love You, Beth Cooper. In its debut, made $5 million. Good enough to make it number seven. Then Up at eight, My Sister's Keeper, number nine. And The Taking of Pelham, 1, 2, 3. It's a good movie. You seen the trailers for that Orphan movie?
I
can't watch them anymore.
Yes.
Just too freaky.
That is a freaky little child.
You know, I've said for a long time, the scariest thing in all of motion pictures is a creepy kid.
Yeah.
That kid is really
creepy.
And that
kid's creepy.
Yeah.
Even when she's just playing the piano and mother says, you told me you couldn't play. No, I didn't. Ah!
Run, turn and run.
I'm giving that kid some lit phosphorus and sending her on her way.
You're being in the ring. You're running the other way.
Yeah, when it comes to scary kids, absolutely. Speaking of movies, Zack Snyder, director of Dawn of the Dead and 300 and Watchmen, has a new movie in the works called Sucker Punch. He said it will be for chicks what 300 was for dudes. You know, 300 was pretty much an all-male cast and was all action, adventure, and fighting and whatnot, and green screen, special effects.
Right.
Sucker Punch, he's describing as Alice in Wonderland with machine guns.
Hell yeah!
An all-teenage female cast, mostly. Set in a brothel in the 1950s. And apparently the whores take up arms and get revenge against someone who has done them wrong. So far, the cast in place was Amanda Seyfried. And Evan Rachel Wood in the lead roles. But Evan Rachel Wood has dropped out.
Oh.
So they just signed on a new co-star for Amanda, Vanessa Hudgens. Apparently will play a bloodthirsty young hooker in the brothel.
Really?
Wow, can't picture that.
I can't either. I'm playing a character named Blondie, and it's set in a brothel in the 50s, so there's not a whole lot of clothes, she tells Rolling Stone magazine. Is I hope there's some razors.
Yeah!
I hope they had razors in the 50s. Or a weed whacker. Or Nair. Or lit phosphorus. Whatever it takes.
Is that how you do it?
Well, in her case, she's like me use napalm.
Is she the one to pull that off?
Dude, I don't know. I'm not a fan. I'm the last guy to ask. Speaking of not being a fan, did you hear about Ryan Seacrest's new deal for his little karaoke show of their American Idol?
I did. How much? Good for him.
$15 million per year for 3 years guaranteed.
Oh, my God.
It's a $45 million deal for 3 years of American Idol.
How about that?
Good morning.
In his defense, he works 6 months a year.
He does, and he reads cue cards badly, but at least ad-libs worse. So he's got that going for him.
He's on a freight train. He got on the right show at the right time. What a lucky bastard.
If I was Jeff Probst, I would start kicking some agent ass right now. Listen to me. I'm great at what I do. I have to go to Botswana and live in a tent.
He's ten times the host.
I mean something to this show. Give me all the money you have now. Simon Cowell also is renegotiating his deal.
Yeah. That show just prints money, though, doesn't it?
To stay as a judge. Simon wants a 3-year deal as well that is worth $100 million.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
But he actually does mean something to the
show.
He
means a lot to
the
show.
He means everything to the show, I think.
He is the linchpin. So we'll see if he gets his deal. Maybe pull a couple mil off of Seacrest's deal and throw him to Simon if that's what you need to do.
It'd be funny if you're Simon.
Keep people around.
Cut Ryan to 10.
You guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high five a blind guy.
He did. That on television.
That did happen.
Right in front of America. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Will Champion, Private Eye. Actually, he's the drummer for Coldplay. He is 31 years old today. Cameron Crowe, writer, director, actor, journalist. Guy's got it going on. He's 52 years old. Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chong turned 63. Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones. Han Solo. Jack Ryan.
Yes.
Had a series of successful franchises in the movie business. He is 67 years old today.
67?
He is. And you know, they're working on Indy 5.
He's 87 if he's a day.
He is a spry 67
Come
years
on.
Old.
Come
on! He is.
There's some funny math going on there.
And Patrick Stewart, captain of the Enterprise in Star Trek The Next Generation. He is 69 years old.
Yeah.
Stop it.
You said it.
Stop it. You can't snicker suggestively at Jean-Luc Picard. It's just not done.
That's not what they're snickering at.
I know, but it's his birthday.
Which
one
is it?
A little class, a little decorum. 69. Make it so, number one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Lisa, did you touch it? I mean, I know he asked you to touch it, but did you touch it?
I did, but I refused to squeeze it.
Here's the conversation that was going on in the studio a minute ago. Touch it. No! Touch it! No! Touch it!
That conversation frequently goes on in the studio with Lisa May, but this time it was an ear that was being offered up to be touching, and it was the ear of the bantamweight champion in the World Extreme Cage Fighting, Miguel Torres, joins us in studio along with the co-founder of the WEC, Reed Harris. Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Miguel, what's up? What's up with the ear? I heard a little bit of that, but is it that's from getting beaten about the head and shoulders?
Just constantly training and fighting. At the time I had cauliflower ear, I tried draining it a couple of times. I couldn't rest. I was going through college and trying to pay some bills, so I had to keep fighting, and it hardened that way. It looks totally disgusting now.
Yeah, most of the fighters in the UFC as well have the same problem with the ear, that you can just tell that they've been in the ring for way too long, didn't have enough
There's
rest.
There's a certain time. Look that they, the nose and their ears start to have a certain similar look.
Your nose is fine.
Yeah.
Well, my nose is broken at the top.
Oh, it
it's
is?
Cracked at the top. It's not broken right now, but it's been broken at the top, so you can't really tell. I'm lucky.
His ear is like a half inch thick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, girls don't like that too much either. So,
Psycho Mike, are you handling this conversation okay? I know how you are about guys with tails and things like that.
No. I'm only disgusted by people who are born with deformities. Like he's earned this through hard work. It's totally different. I don't find it disgusting at all.
I would say earned it. Yeah. I'd say blessed with it. Blessed, gifted.
Now, we have many questions. Of course, you are here because you're only a few weeks away from the big fight where once again you will defend your title. But, Reed, let me ask you, where is WEC right now, World Extreme Cage Fighting? Because I kind of get the impression it's kind of being pulled along with the huge success of UFC and that it's about to get way bigger.
Yeah, well, it actually always was pulled along by UFC. Even when we started in 2000, we always realized, my partner and I, that if UFC did well, so would we.
Right.
Because they were the juggernaut. They were the guys that were pushing the sport.
The difference is the weight classes?
It is. We go 155 and below. So we are the lighter. We're the home of the best lightweight fighters in the world, such as Miguel Torres, who's actually rated as pound for pound one of the toughest guys in the world.
Wow.
His record, his actual record is 49-1.
49-1.
And Miguel, talk about your one loss.
Does that one just torture you now? Like, do you go?
No, he went back and beat the guy.
No, I actually broke his arm when I fought him in the rematch.
Is that right?
I mean, that fight was that's the best thing that could have happened to me because it, you know, put me back on track. I had an ACL injury. Right, the loss. I had an ACL injury. And I was coming into my hometown 30-0 at the time. And it was a huge fight I hadn't fought in a year. Everyone's coming to the fight, sold out arena. And the guy that I was going to fight broke his hand the week before the fight. So nobody would take it on a short week, on a 1 week notice, especially against me.
So you were trying to find a replacement and everyone said no.
They found a replacement, a guy in a heavier weight class. We went into the fight. I lost a decision to him. After the first round, I knew I was totally gassed. My legs were totally gone. And he beat me by decision. It put me back on track. I met Carlson Gracie. I started training harder. I started training the way I train now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the best thing that ever happened to me.
Really? Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, you kind of got reset a little bit on what happened that night. Huh?
Yeah, every now and then you got to redefine yourself. And that was the moment in time to where I could have lost and quit fighting or just taught or got better. And I got better.
Miguel, you grew up in Mexico?
No, I grew up in East Chicago, Indiana, in the
Oh, hood. No kidding. Okay. And are you one of these kids? I mean, you're young enough to have been one of these kids that kind of grew up watching the sport. Is it something you always knew you wanted to do?
Well, I always wanted to be a boxer. When I was 5 and 6 years old, I would come home, you know, Saturday nights, Friday nights, and watch boxing with my dad. I would sit on his lap, and he would show me about fighting.
Oh, really? He would explain to you the moves and everything else?
Right. He would try to teach me how to fight when I was young by watching boxing. And I grew up with Bruce Lee and, you know, all those Kung Fu movies, Samurai Sunday and all those things like that. So I was always fascinated by martial arts because I was skinny. And
and when you're skinny, you know you need to learn tricks.
You need to learn something. Right. Either be funny or be tough. And I seen the first UFCs, Royce Gracie beating up all these big guys. And, you know, I was hooked. I wanted to do it. You know, I started getting into martial arts. I started fighting in local clubs and bars when I was younger. And, you know, it just took off. I started fighting and I was in college, making a couple bucks, $100 here and there, paying my tuition off every semester. And I developed a career out of it.
You know? What was the average pay while you were in college fighting?
The first 10 fights I had, I didn't make anything.
Zero?
I made zero. And then my dad found out I was fighting because I didn't tell him I was fighting.
Okay.
Back then it was like respect and honor kind of thing, all martial arts orientated. And
right.
My dad found out because one of his buddies went to one of the bars and see me fight. And he tells my dad. My dad's in the hospital at the time. He said, hey, I seen your son fight. He did a great job. He knocked the guy out. And my dad, I come out, you know, home from school. My dad's like, you know, I heard you fought yesterday. And the cat was out of the bag. He smacked me in the back of the head. How much money did you make? It's like, well, I didn't make anything. And he goes, you idiot, this guy's making money off of you. So
wow. That's where
I started. It was $100, $200, $300.
That's a tough way to make a living, working that hard for that $100.
Yeah. Well, back then, I didn't think of it that way because my only focus was to fight.
Right.
And when I started making $500 a fight, in two fights, I could pay, you know, half my tuition.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the more I fight, the more I'm going to make for my tuition. So.
And you did end up graduating from Purdue, right, with a marketing degree. Now, was there ever a point that you thought that you were going to go straight, get a job in marketing after you graduated?
Well, at the time, I was working at a hospital, and one of my managers worked for Kodak. He was imaging. He sold imaging equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good rapport with people. I had, you know, a good image, and he wanted me to work with him for Kodak. And he offered me a job, and, you know, at the time, I could have went either way. You know, I had met a lot of doctors. I met a lot of people. I could have got a good job, and my heart and soul was in fighting and mixed martial arts. And I had a gym at the time, and I was doing well with that. And I just, you know, I took a leap of faith.
You had a gym. You ran it?
Yeah, I was running a gym at the same time. I was going to school, fighting, and training at the same time.
Wow.
Reed, tell me about the first time you remember coming across Miguel.
You know, we had seen Miguel fighting in another organization, and we knew his contract was coming up. This is a few years ago. We knew he was really, really good, and the first of the probably top three or four fights I've ever seen in my life, Miguel's in two of them. The thing about Miguel Torres that makes him so good is when he goes and fights a guy in my organization. Now, the guy he's fighting August 9th, as a promoter, you know, you'd asked about WC and where we're going. Mm-hmm. Our last show, we did 13,500 people attended it.
Right.
With the original airing on Versus and the replay, 6 million people saw it the first week.
Wow.
So we are blowing up. I mean, everywhere we go, people know, you know, Miguel, Uriah Faber, Brian Bowles, Mike Brown, some of my champs. Now, Brian Bowles is fighting Miguel August 9th. And my last show, Uriah Faber fought Mike Brown, the number one and the number two guy in the world. As a promoter, you hope for a fight like that maybe once a year.
Right.
August 9th, I've got Miguel, who's clearly number one, no argument in any MMA poll out there, fighting number two, Brian Bowles, who's also undefeated. Brian Bowles trains with Forrest Griffin down there in Athens, Georgia.
But he hasn't been in it as long, right? He only has...
Seven fights,
okay. Right.
But there aren't guys out there like Miguel that are 49-1. There's maybe one or two. Miguel, I think, probably has the best record in MMA.
I've been busy. I've been a busy bee.
Yes, you have.
People always ask me about that. You know, I have fans. I would always fight in my hometown. I fought in the Midwest for a long time. And I fought so often and so much that people wouldn't go to my fights.
Like, really?
Well, I'll see the next one.
I'll come next time.
And they put it off for 9-10 years, and now I'm fighting in huge shows in Vegas, Sacramento,
right,
traveling all over the place.
And they're calling and trying to get tickets?
And they're like, oh, I can't make it. It's too far. I don't have the money for the plane travel. And when I fought in Chicago, my last fight, I was getting phone calls from people I hadn't talked to in 9 years.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're fighting in Chicago again. Can you hook it up with a ticket? You know, can you hook it up with a discount? I'm like, dude, I have no hookups. Because back in the day when I fought in my hometown, I always had a hookup. And
right.
I'm like, I would give you a ticket this time, but next time you'd buy 10 because you take your friends.
Right.
And that was the way it worked. And
so you're a disappointment to all of your friends, basically.
Basically, yeah. I'm a huge disappointment.
So Sunday, August 9th, is the fight. It's going to air live on Versus. It's going to be happening at the Joint at the Hard Rock. And Miguel Torres is here. We will take a quick break and come right.
Miguel Torres, who I think pound for pound is probably one of the best fighters in the world in any organization. He's just shown such great abilities in stand-up. He's a phenomenal striker. His submissions are so slick that they're unbelievable. Plus, he just has that factor that other fighters just require to have to be a champion, or he's just super tough. That's it. Torres has shut you
down. Right now, I don't see anybody that can compete with Miguel.
Miguel Torres is pound for pound one of the best fighters in MMA and the WEC Bantamweight Champion.
Sunday, August 9th, World Extreme Cage Fighting returns to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Our guest in studio is Miguel Torres. He is here along with the co-founder of the WEC, Reed Harris, is with us as well. This Brian Bowles, how much do you know about him, Miguel? I mean, obviously, you've seen him fight a bunch, but you've never fought him yourself. What are you expecting?
I expect him to come in the best shape of his life. I expect him to come and try to take what I have. I look at guys like Brian as a very huge threat because everyone sees what the WEC has done for me, from being the champ, how it's changed my life. And, you know, all these guys coming after me, they don't have the record that I have or the experience. But that makes sometimes the most dangerous guy because there's that unknown factor of what they're going to show. How is he going to show up? Is he going to show up scared, nervous, or is he going to come in the best mindset and shape of his life? And I think that's what I'm going
to
see.
That's probably why it's toughest to stay a champion, because everybody gets up as more, you know, more than they've ever been in their life for you. Every single time you fight, it's somebody else that's getting up.
Well, the last guy I fought, Takei Mizugaki, you know, he had a 5-week notice for the fight. I seen clips of him fighting on YouTube of his recent fights, and he would get clipped in the chin and he would fall. He was, you know, I thought he was easy to get to knock out.
Right.
And I'm training for the fight the same hard, but I go to the fight and I hit this guy with everything I had, you know, multiple combinations, like hard that would drop anyone. And he took it, didn't even wince, didn't make one
just
peep.
Just stood there, really?
Stood there and took it and gave it back.
And did you start thinking, uh-oh?
Well, I didn't think, uh-oh. I had this crazy switch in my brain where when I get hit, I go punch monkey, and I just don't stop until I knock the guy out.
Right.
So basically, we fought standing up. Like, we traded blows for five-minute rounds. And I don't know how he didn't fall. And it was, you know.
He doesn't know how you didn't fall.
He was thinking the same thing,
right.
I imagine.
Well, I mean, he showed up to fight, though. Like,
yeah.
The best Takei Mizugaki showed up to fight. You know, he came and he brought it.
Yeah.
And that's the way every guy that I fight is going to be like that from now on. And
it seems like you were telling us off the air, your entire, you know, coming up, all 49 fights have sort of been that way, where you have to prove yourself every single time you step in the ring, even the gym. Tell us about your gym that you're running and the people that come in to take.
Well, a lot of times when early on in my career, you know, you got to imagine you have this, you know, 135-pound Mexican kid with a gym, and he's, you know, basically a skinny kid. And guys come in, they hear about me from fighting, and there's like myths of me in my hometown.
Sure.
And these guys hear about me, they want to come and they want to learn. So they come to the gym, they'd walk in and they say, hey, I want to train with Miguel Torres. I want to work out with his gym. I want to fight. And then, where's Miguel? And I'm like, oh, I'm Miguel Torres. And the guys look at me like, you got to be kidding me. So it was never...
Because you're a lighter guy. You look kind of small.
Right. And they'll say, well, they don't want a trial lesson. They want a trial sparring session to see if they could beat me up. And I always had to beat... I had to physically beat guys up.
So you had to fight them.
Right. I was fighting them to earn their respect. Either they would leave and never come back because they were embarrassed, or they were so impressed by my skills, they would stand to be my students.
But only after you beat them.
Only after I beat them.
That's a lot of work. You get clients.
Yeah, but that made me better. It gave me like my fight mentality, and I always have to earn respect, and I'll never lose that. The problem with a lot of times too, when you're the champ, everyone says you're the best. Everyone says you're good at this. Everyone's trying to be good to you, and you kind of get weak minded. You get soft. You believe it, and when you're on bottom,
you're striving for that. You want to get to the top.
That's what you want everyone
and
to say.
You always have to remember where you come from. That's why I don't want to leave my area.
Let's talk to Mondo real quick. He's on line one on the Kevin Amin Show. He's been holding with a question for Miguel Torres. Go ahead, Mondo.
Oh, wow. Hello. Good morning.
Hi there.
And good morning, Miguel and Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
I'd just like to say that I'm a big fan of Miguel Torres, and I'd like to congratulate him for a job well done at the MMA Live after review. His commentating was great.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
As far as the pound for pound rankings go, you're one of my you're on the top list for me up there with Fedor and GSP. And
Mondo, do you have a question? We don't have much time.
Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Well, there's been talk about you going up in weight to get bigger fights. What is the possibility of that happening, or what weight would you fight at?
I do want to do that in the future. I think before I retire, I want to do a couple fights like that. But
like heavyweight?
Maybe super heavy. You know?
Super heavy.
I want to see you versus Brock Lesnar. That's what I want to see.
You know, that happens, though, with guys who are great. You beat up everybody in your weight class, and then what do?
You got nowhere else to go.
Well, yeah. I want to go up, but I think it's more important for me to stay where I'm at and cement our legacy there. I know the WC wants to usher in the 125-pound division, and I want to stay at 135, and I want to show the world what 135-pound fighters can do. I think it's more important for me to do that and stay where I'm at and make the weight class popular than to fight a couple of times here and then go up.
Is there a lot of pressure? Are there a lot of people asking that question?
They ask that question.
Are you going to go up? Are you going to go up?
I get that question all the time. And in the beginning of my career, I thought about doing that. It's just so hard for me to put on weight. I eat. You can ask my promoters. I eat like a maniac. I just cannot keep the weight on. It's so easy.
Poor baby.
Guys cut weight. They got to cut 25, 30 pounds. I eat whatever I want. And the week of the fight, I cut 5 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm naturally a skinny dude. But at the same time, if I did go up in weight, I wouldn't try to put weight on. I would stay where I'm at and just concentrate on fighting bigger people like I always did. So I think it's more important for me to stay at 135 and do big things there and make big things happen and bring attention to my weight class than to have to go to somebody else's weight class and take their attention.
And listen, we have, I think at this point, 8 of the top 10 135-pounders in the world in my organization. So he's got a long list of guys that want to kick his ass.
I want to fight those guys.
Right.
49-1. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Miguel Torres, WEC presents Torres and Bowles. That is at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. It is Sunday, August 9th, and they're going to air it live on Versus, which if you have DirecTV, I think it's 603, 604, something like that.
Reed, what's the deal for folks who, I mean, is there any way to see it in person, or how's that? What are options available besides watching it on TV?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people come from L.A. A lot of our fans come from L.A. to Las Vegas. We're at the brand new Joint. At the Hard Rock.
They rebuilt it, right?
They rebuilt it.
It used to fit like 125 people.
I think it was more like 1,500, but now we're looking at 3,000 to 4,000. It's the perfect setting for MMA or boxing. Either way, they've kind of configured it that way. They have hotel specials at the Hard Rock. It's on a Sunday, so what I tell people is I will give them Monday off if they want to come to Vegas and watch my show.
I'll give them a note,
and it works nice with all the bosses in L.A.
And the card stacked. The last guy I fought, Takei Mizugaki, the guy that gave me the fight of my life, is fighting the guy who called me out from my hometown, Jeff Kern. So you got two guys that I want to fight, fighting each other.
Wow.
And that's going to be good. A huge fight. And then you have Benavidez and Cruz fighting. You know, I think the winner of them is going to be the number one, the number two contender, the number one contender for my title, so... It's going to be a huge card.
Leonard Garcia's fighting, yeah. We got a lot of guys on that card.
The long line of people that want to be you.
I'm waiting. I feel like I'm Afro Samurai. I have this belt. I'm sitting at the top of the mountain. All these guys are coming after me. Like, I watch that cartoon all the time because, like...
First Afro Samurai reference in a while. That's true. I got to be honest.
It's a great show.
I'm a cartoon junkie.
Listen, get all the information on August 9th in Las Vegas and everything else going on with the World Extreme Cage Fighting at WEC TV. Let me say thank you to both of our guests for stopping by. We very much enjoyed talking. Rodney Bingenheimer, music legend in Southern California for the last 50 years, joins us in our studio right now to help us give away some Incubus at the Hollywood Bowl tickets. How are you, Rodney?
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7 K-Rock.
Nope. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's not your show. This is...
Got some songs coming up. Brian Wilson.
Nope. We don't play Brian Wilson.
New albums coming up.
No.
World phenomenon.
Going to give away some... We're giving away some tickets in the front row for Incubus. And people are going to stump you to get them.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam. Yeah.
Now, Rodney, in the past, I sense that you've been confused as to what the goal of the segment is. So let me explain it to you again. The listeners will call up, and they've got a trivia question about the band Incubus. They're trying to see if you know the answer to that question. If you don't, they go in the drawing to win the front row seats. You got that?
All right, 106.7 K-Rock.
Our claim is that you know everything about music because you've been around since
music long time.
The early 1900s. So we're going to take some calls, and we're going to see if they can stump you.
I broke a lot of bands on the radio.
Right.
Bach.
Not Bach. No, yeah. I don't think so. You were the first person to play Van Halen, for example.
Mozart?
Nope. All right.
Okay. Let's why don't we start with Mike? Bogner. He's on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a great example of the kind of question that an Incubus fan, a hardcore Incubus fan, would know, Rodney. Let's see if that's you. Mike, go ahead. You're on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer.
Oh, good morning. My question is, what two subjects is Mike studying at Harvard?
Two subjects? Haircut 100.
That's a band.
Men at Work.
Those are bands. That's,
all right.
Those aren't subjects. Is that correct, Mike? Is it Haircut 100 and what?
Men at work.
No, actually, it's music and physics.
Yeah.
Okay. Haircut. See, that would have been the right answer, Rodney.
Haircut 101.
Mike's, No. Mike stumped you, so he's going in the drawing for the tickets. You see how that works?
Souls.
That's just the name of a band, Rodney. You're
all
supposed
right,
to answer.
I win.
No. All right. Let's go to Christina.
It's Godhead.
She's got a question for you. Christina?
Yes. Hi. Hello. My question is, what's Brandon's brother's band's name?
Bow Wow Wow.
Is it Bow Wow Wow, Christina?
No, it's not. Mm. It's Audio Vent.
How about that?
I like candy. I want candy.
Okay.
All right. Christina stumped you, so she's in the drawing.
All right. Let's win again.
Let's try Carla, line six, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carla, stump Rodney.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay. Why did Incubus name their album Morning View?
Easy one. Rod? Did we call him Rod?
No, not really. So.
Pepsi and Shirley.
The question was, why is the album called Morning View?
Pepsi and Shirley.
Is it Pepsi and Shirley, Carla?
It is not.
No.
They used to back up George Michael.
Tell people the answer.
Wham.
It's because they recorded their album on the street Morning View in Malibu.
Right. There you go. Does that make
kind of thing an Incubus fan would know, Rodney?
Does that ring a bell, Rodney?
Pet Shop Boys.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Carla.
Let's try, here we go. How about Delu? Delu is line eight. Delu. How could I die?
Wow.
You're on with Rodney. Go ahead.
Hi, my question is, what city did Brandon grow up in?
Bananarama.
Another easy... That's not a city!
Bananarama. Bananarama, California.
Is it Bananarama?
No.
What
it's
is
Calabasas.
It? Calabasas, right.
Isn't that the first Incubus trivia question that you learn? I mean, if you have ever heard of the band, you know they're from Calabasas, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Billy Ocean.
Stop.
All right. Let's do one more. How about Mercedes
Cruel
on line
summer.
One to close it out? Then we'll do a drawing and find out who wins the tickets.
Great song.
Mercedes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Stump Rodney.
Okay, the question is, what is Brandon Boyd's middle name?
Brandon's middle
Debbie
name.
Gibson.
Is it Debbie Gibson?
No, sorry, it's Charles.
Charles.
Charles Gibson?
No. Oh, dear God.
Newsman?
He's on television.
All right. Lisa, you want to...
I'm going to do a drawing.
Please.
And...
How do you feel you did, Rodney, before we find out who wins the front row seats? You feel you did all right?
Head.
Okay.
The winner is Delu.
Delu.
Yeah.
God.
Delu. Front row seats for tonight.
Oh, my God. This isn't real.
It is real. Nicely done. Thanks for playing Stump Rodney.
The Buggles.
Stop it.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. Last look at what the celebrities are up to for a Monday morning. What you talking about, Ralph?
Every Monday, we take a look at how the movies did at the box office this weekend. And Bruno's the big winner this weekend. $30.4 million made him number one in the top 10.
What's up?
Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs was number two with $28.5 million. Transformer Revenge of the Fallen was third. Public Enemies, The Proposal, The Hangover, I Love You, Beth Cooper, Up, My Sister's Keeper. Not Up My Sister's Keeper, naturally, but that would be sick.
The Keister? Is that what he said?
The Taking of Pelham 123. That is your top 10 at the box office this weekend. As you know, I like to keep a close watch on the worst ideas for new motion pictures.
Sure.
There has been a long, long list this summer. And add this one to it. Mattel has just sold an idea for a movie based around one of their least popular toys.
Not Hot Wheels?
Nope. Hot Wheels has already been sold, Kevin, as has Masters of the Universe. He-Man's coming back. Major Matt Mason, a popular astronaut toy from the 60s, has been sold to Universal. Tom Hanks is helming that project.
Okay.
And the latest one from Mattel is an action figure that was popular in 1999 called Max Steel.
Really?
Max Steel.
Hmm. We're going to
turn that into a movie franchise. Psycho Mike, you're nodding. Do you remember Max Steel?
I do. I don't remember it being all that popular, but I know of Max Steel, yeah.
He apparently was a 19-year-old extreme sports junkie recruited by a secret agency after an accident infects his body with nanobots, making him superhuman. And the action figure was just mildly popular here in the States. However, in Latin America, Max Steel is the region's number one action figure.
Is that right?
So I guess they're trying to cash in on the international market with the Max Steel movie franchise.
Hey, a lot of these movies, and Transformers is just the latest, make more money overseas than they do domestically, so it kind of makes sense to play to the worldwide audience.
I didn't think anything could make me long for Viewmaster the movie, but Max Steel has done just that.
Next thing you'll be telling us, there's a G.I. Joe movie coming. This is getting ridiculous.
That's silly. They wouldn't do that. Speaking of movies, Ryan Reynolds has been anointed to be the Green One. He will be the Green Lantern in the upcoming Warner Brothers live-action film based on the popular DC Comics hero. Daily Variety reported that production will begin in January for a Christmas release next year. Bradley Cooper, Justin Timberlake, and Jared Leto were also rumored to be among the short list of people to play the Green Lantern, but Ryan Reynolds has landed the role.
He seems like a tool.
No power against anything yellow, that ring.
Dumb. He has a ring. He has to recharge it with a lantern. But if something's yellow, that's like his kryptonite.
The ring doesn't have an effect on anything yellow. Yes, that's all you need to know.
Okay. So the yellow Power Ranger could take him down.
Technically, I suppose
that's
true.
Big Bird.
Big Bird could not take him down.
Yes, he could. Good point.
Yellow.
It must be hard to be Joe Simpson watching all this Michael Jackson stuff, wondering, how can I cash in on this tragedy?
Yeah.
How can I use my Weasley powers of evil to try to make a buck off of this? Well, he's come up with a way.
This is Jessica Simpson's dad.
Jessica Simpson and Ashley Simpson's manager slash father. I put the manager first on purpose. Has decided that to revive his youngest daughter's failing music career, as opposed to his eldest daughter's failing music career, he's going to have Ashley Simpson record an entire album of songs done by Michael Jackson. An album of covers by Ashley Simpson singing Michael Jackson's hits.
Look, say what you want about Michael Jackson. He was an amazing vocalist.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And she's not.
This is true.
So maybe that's not a good idea.
Maybe her husband can help her. Maybe Pete Wentz can pitch in.
That's a bad idea.
Please.
I think they could do a duet on The Girl Is Mine.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I don't believe it!
It's one of the worst songs ever.
And Bean is so jealous. Retro Fitness. A new gym chain that is...
Gym chain was my air name in the 80s, by the way.
Has a theme of 80s. It's a franchise of 80s themed fitness centers. Retro Fitness, it's called.
Okay. So you go work out there to 80s music or something?
I guess. They must give you a leotard and a headband and put on Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John or something.
Wow.
But they have just landed the 8675309 number for their
friend. Yay!
Remember how desperately Bean wanted that song from the Tommy Toontown song, Jenny?
Bean is obsessed with numbers as part of his
Asperger's. I did want to get that phone number.
8675309.
They got it?
They got it.
Yeah, we talked about it when the New Jersey one was for sale, right? There's a bunch of them around the country, but is this the one they got? Is in New Jersey?
I don't know which one they have. They have 50 locations in Florida, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., and another 100 on the way in other major markets. So I'm thinking maybe this is an 800 number. Maybe it's
maybe
it's a national number.
That would be sweet.
They've also hired Martha Quinn to be their spokesperson.
Yeah.
Remember Martha Quinn from MTV?
Yeah.
She was one of the original VJs in the 80s. She's a midget.
Yeah.
She apparently will be the voice of the radio campaign.
So I'm going to work out to
Retro Fitness.
To the Human League and stuff like that.
Great would that be? Keep feeling fascination.
Just doing
aerobics. Oh, be awesome.
And by awesome, you mean horrible.
VH1 Classic had the top 100 one-hit wonders of the 80s on this weekend. And I said,
good?
This is dumb. Boop. 4 hours later, I'm sitting there watching the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. Those shows are so good.
They're so addictive, too. It's like popcorn. You just can't stop. Yep.
Yeah.
Judah Friedlander was the host, the guy from 30 Rock who wears the funny baseball caps. And he was very funny. So I'm very much in an 80s mood this morning.
What was your favorite one-hit wonder from the 80s?
Wow.
Because Falco, he doesn't count. He had two. So
he had two. I think Taco, Putting on the Ritz, may have been one of my favorites.
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah. That guy was just creepy on every possible level.
Was he?
You know what else is a good one? We forgot about. Oh, yeah. Bow, bow.
Oh, sure.
Bow, bow.
The yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Green Lantern's least favorite act.
That's right. He would be powerless against that duo.
Just put that song on, he could do nothing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Drummer Will Champion of Coldplay, 31 years old today. Cameron Crowe, actor, director, writer, journalist, 52. Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong is 63. Harrison Ford celebrates his 67th birthday today. And Patrick Stewart from Star Trek The Next Generation, and a fine actor in his own right. He's 69. Also, Professor Xavier in all the X-Men movies. Yeah, he played that.
Sure.
I was hoping I could just gloss over the 69 and you guys would just show some restraint.
I'm sorry. You looked at us and you thought restraint.
Look, hope springs eternal.
Hmm.
You know? How about a little 69?
How about it? Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Bean Morning Show, it's the return of Dave, the King of Mexico, who took today off because went to Chicago over the weekend to follow Paramore, and No Doubt. He promised us he would come back with an interview with Hayley Williams from Paramore. We'll find out on tomorrow morning show whether that actually happened over the weekend or not. He made it sound like he was going to propose and they were going to run off together. I don't even know what
plans
he had. He's
been saying that forever, and I'm guessing not. But we'll find out tomorrow.
I would be surprised if he got Barry Williams interviewed.
Ralph, I'm a little bit concerned about the topic you are about to discuss here.
This story has been stretched way out of proportion.
It hasn't, first of all. It hasn't even been told yet.
I know, but I did mention it in the office, and I think the reaction I got was out of whack in terms of.
Do you mind if I give
happening.
The headline?
See, their headline is misleading.
No, it isn't.
No, it's
the headline is accurate.
True.
Here's the headline to the story.
All right.
Ralph Garman drinks his own pee.
See? Again, that is misleading because it sounds as if it's some sort of health practice I engage in on a regular basis
so that didn't happen?
You say, Ralph Garman drinks his own pee. It makes it sound like it's part of my health regimen or something.
I'll change
Like you're Nick Nolte or something, trying to stay alive forever.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, I'll change it.
I do it before I get in my hyperbaric chamber.
Ralph Garman drank his own pee.
There you go.
That's disturbing enough for me, but go ahead.
But it's certainly not voluntary.
How much are you out of alcohol at your house that you're reduced to drinking human urine?
The thing is, my urine is 40 proof.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how good it is.
That's true.
No, I was driving in my car.
Yeah.
And I had a bottle of water in one of my cup holders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving along, and I'm on the freeway, so I'm keeping my eye on traffic, and I reach for the bottle of water, and I start drinking. And at that moment, a series of images flashed through my mind like I was Chuck on that show on NBC, and I had the Intersect computer in my brain. Everything started to flash and come together in one split second for me to take that sip. Everything in the past 3 days fell into place for me in terms of what happened.
So in that one second, let me back this story
up. Yeah, let me back up what happened in that millisecond, how my mind processed what I was doing and what had happened.
Okay.
Flashback 3 days, I was going into a store, and I had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And I had to relieve myself, but I didn't have access to the proper facility.
The store didn't have a bathroom?
No.
Okay.
And I had been in the store before and known I had asked before to use their bathroom, and they said, I'm sorry, you cannot use the bathroom. So I knew I was going to run into trouble.
Okay.
And I happened to have in my car at the time an empty water bottle from water that I had previously ingested that day.
Okay.
So I take the water bottle, mm-hmm. and I fill the water bottle as a source of relief for me.
Mm-hmm.
I screw the cap back on tightly, and I put it in my cup holder, and I say, when I clean out my car and throw the rest of this stuff, I got some papers on the floor and stuff, I'll just throw that in the trash.
So you left it. You didn't put a neon label on it or anything that said, reminder, Ralph, do not drink me.
Yeah, I was all out of neon labels inside the car. I just really just said, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Unless it's a Gatorade bottle, it's not big enough for me, but go ahead.
Well, there's ways around that kind of thing. So I go into the store, and I go about my business, and I go shopping, and days pass, and I hadn't gotten around to cleaning out my car.
So days passed, yes. And that's still in your car.
Yes.
Ew.
What else is in your car? kind of a slob on you?
Just some trash.
To the ceiling?
But look, I wasn't panicked about it. It's not radioactive or anything. I didn't need to put on a hazmat suit and dispose of it in some sort of lead-lined container.
No, but don't when I got sealed, around it was sealed in a bottle.
It was tightly sealed with a cap on. It was just sitting there.
But don't you want to get it out of your car?
Yeah, but it's not on my mind. It's not preying heavy on my mind. Like, I must get to this.
Maybe it should have been.
When I got to it, I figured I'd get to it.
All right.
It was no rush.
You got to it one sip at a time is how you got to it.
But it is.
It's fermenting
forward.
At this point into wine, right?
Flash forward.
3 days.
Those 3 days. I grab the bottle, the drink. I open up the cap. I was driving in my car. I was going into a store. I had to
go to the bathroom.
So I knew I was going to run into trouble. An empty water bottle.
Go to the bathroom.
An empty water bottle. I screw the cap back on tightly. I put up my cup holder. I say, well, I clean up my car and throw the rest of this stuff. I got some papers on the floor and stuff. I'll just throw that. I had to. Everything for the past 3 days home to place for me.
What the hell is that smell / taste?
Oh, ew.
Man.
And then, as I said, all of the preceding 3 days in a compressed millisecond flashed through my mind. I knew exactly what I had done.
Wow. Mm.
And so I spit it back into the bottle.
Did you finish
it? But that didn't help. It didn't make a difference. And it had been sitting in the hot sun in my car for about 3 days.
Ew.
So gross.
It was
not good?
Well rancid by that point.
I hope you sealed it back up, put it back in the car, figure you'll throw it away one day.
I want to hold on to it until it becomes a solid. That's what I'm shooting for.
And then one day when you're hungry.
Well, I guess you don't really get on board anything that takes you to.
Train? What are you getting on board?
I'm just trying to imagine. Probably a plane. I would imagine to go to Nashville to see Kings of Leon. It's destination number one of the K-Rock Road Trip USA. Your chance to qualify for that coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, you.
What are you drinking there?
Water.
Okay, good.
Speaking of drinking, I was looking at the bed of Mike's pickup truck out in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. There's a crushed empty Bud Light can, a highway traffic cone, and a pair of bolt cutters laying in the back there. I was like,
that's a weekend.
What kind of weekend was Psycho Mike having?
I can tell you he went to the Slayer show, the Slayer Marilyn Manson show. Did you have tickets? You have to break in? Or?
That's where all three of those objects came from.
Slayer Marilyn Manson show?
Why the bolt cutters?
Why bolt cutters, a traffic cone, and some empty cans of Bud Light in your bed?
The empty cans of Bud Light came from the gentleman who had sex with my armpit.
That's a whole other story.
The traffic cone was at the Glen Helen Pavilion. You know, it's a mess to get out of that
right,
place.
Right, sure.
And
so you cleaned it up by taking their cones?
No, instead
they had one too many.
Now it's much easier to get out. There's no cones there anymore.
Instead of waiting in line, at one point, one of the drunkards in my car walked out and put the cone in the back of my car, and then just escorted me to the front of the line.
I see.
And I think the bolt cutters were lying on the ground towards the backstage entrance, and they just ended up in the back of my truck because someone wanted them.
Okay. You know, your friends just take whatever they want, basically.
The great thing about Mike's sobriety is it gives him no responsibility for any actions whatsoever. He's always putting it on everyone else. Yeah. Oh, my drunken friends. Oh, it is. Not me. I'm not responsible for what they do.
When sober.
They load up the back of my car with stolen items. I'm fine. Oh, it's them. It's not me. You're weak. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Bruno, number one, $30.4 million this weekend. Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs was number two. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen came in at number three. Then Public Enemies and The Proposal rounded out the top five. Hangover, I Love You, Beth Cooper. Up, My Sister's Keeper and The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 were the bottom half of the top 10 this weekend. So congratulations to Bruno and Sacha Baron Cohen. And where do you go from here? Who's next? Have to make up a new character. He's out of characters now.
Well, his LEG movie wasn't really like these have been.
No, that was more of a narrative film, a fictional
film. But I don't think he'll go back to that either. I think Ralph's right. He's got to come up with something else.
Yeah. Congratulations to Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan, co-stars from Step Up in 2006, announced their engagement last September, and they tied the knot this weekend in Malibu. A 15-minute ceremony at the same Malibu vineyards where Fergie and Josh Duhamel exchanged vows in January. Us Weekly Magazine reports that Jenna's maid of honor was Entourage star Emmanuel Shariki.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And actress Hailey Duff was also in attendance as a bridesmaid. Wow. So apparently it was quite the event. I was not invited.
Yeah.
Because Channing Tatum's scared of me.
Is he?
Yeah.
He came into the studio. I don't remember him being afraid of you
at fighting. All. And he's like, I'm glad I'm not a real fighter. Look at that dude over there.
He never said that.
Clean my clock.
Uh-uh.
John Gosselin of John and Kate plus 8 minus 1. has a new girlfriend.
a lovely young lady by the name of Haley Glassman. Mm-hmm. She's 22 years old.
Yeah!
He's 32. And a real kick in the gut, literally, for Kate, is that she is the daughter of the plastic surgeon who gave Kate her tummy tuck after she had her half a dozen kids.
All right.
I guess that's how we met her.
You got to find him someplace, Lisa.
Wow. I guess so.
You know?
You know, when you're busy, when you got eight kids,
what are you going
to
do?
It's harder to find whores.
It is.
So you have to take them where you can get them.
She is not hot either, by the way.
She's not hot. But then neither is he.
Yeah.
He's a big, doughy, hair-plugged looking guy. So what are you going to do? Quentin Tarantino had a lovely experience recently in Berlin. He went to a bar and found that the bar was completely dedicated to him.
No kidding.
There's a bar in Berlin called Tarantino's. And when you go in there, his movies are constantly showing on a big screen television. His soundtracks from his films play over the loudspeakers. And the walls are decorated solely with film posters from Quentin Tarantino movies.
Wow.
Imagine if there was a bar called Kevin and Beans and you went in there and it was just all...
Just by accident.
Just all your stuff.
Yeah. I would just turn and walk out.
You'd be scared, wouldn't you? Yeah,
that's not right.
Quentin said it was bizarre.
Wait a minute. He didn't know any of that?
No, according to...
It was a complete surprise.
Well, I guess he got to Berlin.
The name of it was Tarantino.
When he got to Berlin, someone said you have to go to this bar. He didn't know about his existence before he landed in Berlin. He said it was bizarre but brilliant, and he said he had several drinks at the joint and had quite a good time, and as you can imagine, they were pleased to see him. So. And speaking of drinking, Justin Long and Drew Barrymore were seen pounding Jägermeister in New York on Thursday night.
Mm. I've been behind them for a long time.
Apparently they are together again and still going strong. The two were caught enjoying some adult beverages at a place in New York City, and onlookers said they held on to each other constantly and seemed to be madly in love.
Teenage lovers.
You know, Jägermeister will do that for you.
Yes,
by the
it
way.
Will. And then you hold each other's hair.
I love everybody when I'm...
About an hour later.
I love everybody when I'm pounding Jägermeister.
I can dig it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Will Champion. Olympian. No, he's the drummer for Coldplay.
He's the villain in the Green Lantern movie, right?
Do not believe so, no. He's 31 years old today. Cameron Crowe, actor, director, writer, journalist, is 52. Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong. We had them in not too long ago.
Yeah,
Cheech didn't seem too happy with you.
Cheech could have had a little more of what Chong had.
Maybe. He's 63.
Cheech is Hurley's father, right? On Lost.
Yes, he is. Harrison Ford, legendary movie star, is 67. And Patrick Stewart, who, of course, was Professor Xavier in the X-Men movies and also Captain Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation. He is 69 years old today.
How about a little 69?
How about it? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.